here starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Larry King becoming a prophet.
Now, you know, imagine my shock, because I mean, I've been in this little whirlwind the last 24 hours, so man, he's going to be a daddy.
I can't believe it got by us yesterday. I guess it was only reported in the Post yesterday, the Washington Post.
Right.
And it wasn't until I got back to the hotel last night that one of the other DJs mentioned something to me about it.
You know, I don't doubt that he's sexually active. I don't doubt that there's a possibility. You know, he's such a horn dog that I don't doubt for a minute that it happened.
I do her all the time.
You know, it wouldn't be like he'd have to bring in any extra troops. I think Larry still got it in him. As much as we say bad things about Larry, that's one thing that's true.
Well, he will be dead before that child graduates high school. There's no doubt about that.
Unless there's some sort of, unless they freeze his head or something like that. And, put it on another body after he's got his Mr. Burns-like body withers away.
Well, don't forget, Larry King said at some point in the future, remember, he was such a big future expert, take a sample of your blood and tell you when you're going to die.
Hi.
Everything you're going to get.
Hi, this is Larry King. My head is under this jaw. You can look at my head, and with wise bells and whistles, the futuristic doctors have allowed me to continue to speak.
Hello, son.
Hi, here's daddy. Here's the disembodied head.
It's Robo, Larry King, like they do with RoboCop. Except with Larry's rubbery face. And even on the Robo, Larry, you would still have to have the big shoulders.
Oh, yeah, look like a real praying mantis, you know.
Boise, Idaho, hello.
Boy, I could use an egg cream now.
Hello, son. How was your day at school?
Yeah, it was good, Dad.
I used to know Sandy Koufax. I used to know Sandy Koufax. I used to know Sandy Koufax.
Larry!
Koufax! 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 I'm friends with Don Rickles.
I'm an android. I'm Larry Droid. Larry Droid.
All right, listen. Got to tell you what happened at the airport yesterday. And more specifically on the way to the airport.
Yes.
We dropped the car off at the car rental place. Mm-hmm. And then we got in the bus. And the bus... Alamo Rent-A-Car, here's all I want to say.
Yeah.
I'm never going to rent another car from Alamo Rent-A-Car because when you get on the Alamo bus, the song that they pipe in, maddening, don't worry, be happy.
Constantly.
I mean, it was like on an endless loop where they'd go, the guy goes, you've rented from Alamo. Don't worry, be happy.
Here's a little song I wrote.
Oh, right? And I'm there with the two happy travelers, with Rob Spiewak and Charles Broyhill. And
two guys, we're lucky they don't kill each other when we travel across the country.
We were so tired and tired of being with each other. You're so lucky that you left early. And we get on and that goddamn song starts playing. And meanwhile, Carlos, or whatever his name is, the guy that's driving the bus.
Fernando,
thank you, Rob. Fernando.
Nando.
Right? He has to double check with everybody, what airline, please, even though we've already told him American. You know, we're Americans, we're flying American Airlines.
American.
So, when I think I pinpointed the spot where Charlie lost his phone. It was when Fernando said, America West, because Broyhill jumped up, and then we figured out that Fernando was saying America West, not American Airlines.
American, not America West.
So, anyway, we finally get off the bus.
Right.
We got off the bus. Rob is standing there trying to check in his doctor bag. And Rob carries a bag like the guy carried the dildo in Animal House.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Rob has in his doctor bag, too. Absolutely.
We're standing at the curb waiting for Rob to check the bag, and suddenly Broyhill goes, I left my cell phone on that bus.
Oh.
He goes, damn that Fernando. And I mean, the bus has taken off.
Right,
Charles Broyhill, I call him the Flojo of this show.
Yeah, he is fast.
I mean, I said to Rob, as we stood there and we watched him take off, I said, I'll bet you a dollar he catches that bus.
Oh, did he make it?
He did.
And it was his phone on the bus?
No, he had left his phone, as it turns out, in the car.
Oh.
Which was back at the rental place. So we got into the terminal, and, you know, Broyhill, not real skilled working a telephone, couldn't get the payphone to call Alamo, right?
He lives with that cell phone. I mean, that cell phone is his lifeline.
It's attached.
So even though it was a local call, it was would have cost us 35 cents.
Right.
I ended up getting out my cell phone.
Right.
And I dialed long distance to Alamo, which was like 6 blocks away. And as soon as I got Alamo on the phone, I got the thing, "Welcome to Alamo. For reservations, press 1. Blah, 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 blah.
To complain about the song in our buses, press 2.
And they were playing that song down the phone. So finally, I press 8.
Right.
And the ladies, and we're standing there and waiting and waiting, and now we're all tired and we're all mad.
This is the one little fly in the ointment that you didn't need.
Right. Finally, the lady says, "Hello." I get a live person. I say, "Listen, we just dropped off a minivan, a Pontiac minivan. A friend of mine left a cell phone in it. Can you have somebody run it over?" She says, "Hold on, I'll put you through to Lost and Found."
Oh.
So now I say to Broyhill, "Hey, I got it under control, man. Lost and Found." Well, here's what happens.
"Hello, this is the Alamo Lost and Found Department. If you've lost something on an incoming car, please press 1.
Yeah, it's probably their national. It's probably their national number.
Everything is so. Again, I got to wait through the menu.
Right.
Then I finally get to the local lady, and it's,
"Hi, this is Alice. I'm away from my desk now."
Oh, no.
So we are going absolutely bonkers. Crazy time. So Broyhill again, I can't even imagine what my phone bill is going to be for my cell phone. You know, first off, I've only got that cell phone because I promised Frida that I wouldn't go crazy on it because when I've had a cell phone in the past,
you use it for all of your conversations.
I get so bored driving the car that I just call people just to waste time on the
car
way home.
Car is the best place to talk, in my opinion.
Right? So, Broyhill calls them back again.
Right.
We go to the gate. We go to check-in. I go to take a leak. I come back and just Rob is standing there by himself. And I said, "Hey, where'd Broyhill go?" He says, "Broyhill went to try to get his phone. He went to the Alamo place." I said, "Great. Where's my phone?" He said, "Broyhill took it with him."
He's attached to that cell phone. He needs a cell phone to live.
Okay, but I needed the cell phone, too.
I know you did. You left your cell phone now because you don't have to, you know, busy yourself with pay phones. You can just pop in the area code and call whoever you want.
Right.
You like you want to call your wife 100 times when we're, you know, on the road.
You've noticed that.
I do. You do it either with a pay phone or you do it, and now you have a cell phone, and it's convenient.
And I'm a little territorial, and I've got my bag packed, and I've got the phone in the little phone pouch, which I had underneath the box of cigars that I got in, underneath the laundry bag with my dirty underwear and stuff.
Right.
So what I had to do to get the phone out originally was take everything out of the bag, and now I'm thinking, I want my phone back, because I want to put the phone back in the little bag, put the little bag on top of the box of cigars and on top of the underwear so that when I get on the airplane, I don't have to pull the bag out and hold everybody up. Right?
And I know, you know, you're not a phobic flyer like I am, but I know you like to make that last phone call before you get on the airplane.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your little thing you like to do.
You know my routine.
Of course. And now he's stolen it and he's gone to Alamo because he needs his lifeline, too. He is attached to his cell phone. Oh.
So while I'm sitting there with Rob, just tapping with a pencil, and that's another nervous habit I have, I'm just going like this. "Where's he at? I need that phone." I said, "Rob, I can't get on the plane without that phone." I mean, I'm going crazy. I'm saying to Rob, I'm going, "Robbie, I'm going to have to take that bag out of the overhead bin, and I'm going to have to pull out the laundry bag with my dirty underwear."
I'm so glad I went back early.
Right? And Rob and I are guessing on how long it's going to take Broyhill to come back.
Right.
Suddenly, we're looking at the people walking by in the airport, and Rob says, "Ooh, look at her. Sweet." It's an older lady, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, she's about 100 yards away. Right. And I said, "She looks June Lockhart-y. Mmm, sweet." Right? And we're laughing with each other.
Right.
She gets closer.
Yeah.
It is June Lockhart.
Oh, my God.
I swear.
June Lockhart!
I swear to friggin' God.
Of all the celebrities you'd see in the airport.
It's June Lockhart. And at that point, I locked up.
Sure.
Rob said, "Go talk to her. You kissed her. Go talk to her."
I said, "Don, for the love of God, go to her."
I said, "Rob, what will I say to her?" I said, "I want my phone back." You know, I was possessed with getting the cell phone back.
You look different with the beard, too.
Yeah. The one thing he said is, all right, I'd do it if we had the dat.
and I had the dad.
That's a tape recorder that we brought with us, right?
Right.
So in the meantime, she had been standing like no less than, 10 feet away from us.
Right in front of us. We could have just said, hey, June.
No, we didn't.
I was afraid to talk to her, right? And also, I was tapping the pencil because I wanted to get the cell phone back. So Rob says, I got the tape recorder.
Right.
So then I said, all right, let's go get her. But by this time...
Yeah.
She had gone into the Admiral's Club.
Oh, no.
And, you know,
she's gone for air.
Yeah, we thought that she'd gone in to get a little, couple of glasses of courage.
Yeah, of course. Hey, I respect her more now.
So we were never able to hook up with her, but technically there was a June Lockhart sighting.
Oh, hello, Mile High Club.
And the only other thing that I wanted to tell you about from the trip that I thought was so funny was... We got back from doing the show yesterday afternoon, and I decided I'm going to go out for a little jog, right? We leave the hotel, and I go out. I'm starting to run around the corner, and from around the corner coming off right off Sunset Boulevard, it's Charlie Broyhill with a woman who kind of looked like a fat Morticia Adams and another lady that had a baby in a stroller. Okay,
he's with these people?
Right. Aww. Now, he, of course, was his usual... non-conversational
just
self.
Looking at you like, yeah, I'm with these people,
right?
And I'm sure you want to know, but I'm not going to volunteer anything. You're going to have to ask.
So I walk by, and I said, hey, buddy. And he said, hello. And I looked at my watch, and I said, I guess we'll leave for the airport in about an hour. And he said, okay. And I kept going.
There they are. They're great communicators, two of them. You're dying of curiosity. He's not going to volunteer anything. Well, that's why you two bond the way you do.
Now, as I'm going from my run, here's what I'm thinking. We were in California 1 year ago.
Oh, there you go.
I see Broyhill with a woman pushing a baby carriage, right?
Sure.
I think, oh, my God.
Sure.
He knocked up some girl in Hollywood, and he's like seeing the. That's the only reason I could figure that he's not telling me what's going on.
Right. Well, but it is kind of isn't his. It's his modus operandi. Where he doesn't volunteer anything, and he likes people to be curious, so he can't tell them what's going on.
So then, an hour later, and they were late.
Yep.
Rob and Charlie late coming down. I was sitting out front in the minivan, ready to go.
Right.
They were late. When he finally arrived, the first thing I said was, "Hey, who were those people you were with?"
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it gives me that blank stare.
What? What do you mean?
I said, you know, those people. Well, as it turns out, the one who looked like the fat Morticia Adams is the publicist for Laura Korn.
Oh.
And as it turns out, she found out that we were in California, and Laura Korn, you know, the sexpert, she wants back on the show again.
Sure, God.
So apparently,
jeez,
unless Charlie Broyhill fathered a child and is trying to hide that from me, he had gone out with them to lunch to pacify them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that he didn't say anything to me when I walked by is because he knew.
Oh, so he was doing you a favor.
He knew that if he said, hey, listen, this is Laura Korn's publicist, that she would have jumped on me like a tarantula.
And see, that's why you have more control than I do. Because, see, I would have been, if I walked by him, I'm like, Charlie, who are these fine people? Hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, and I blow the deal. So you actually worked out well for him that you just kept jogging by.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's good. That's good. You know, wouldn't it be Korn's post? Can't somebody really famous pursue us like that? No. Laura Korn's publicist.
And Rob, who's the baby? Do we know yet?
She's a single mother, Don.
Oh, it's a single mother.
Single mom.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, who knows? We finally were sitting in the car.
Uh-huh.
We're getting ready to pull out of that turnaround there in the hotel when Morticia comes up to the driver's side. And by this time...
Was she complaining about the extra sugar tax at lunch?
Charlie. When Charlie and I forgot to tell you this on yesterday's show. Charlie and I were watching a Cowboys game on Monday night when you and Rob went to Spago.
Right.
And we stayed in it and had room service. He had a pitcher of iced tea. And I am not kidding when I'm telling you, he used at least 25 packets of sugar.
Absolutely.
While he was drinking the iced tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to turn into a bee.
Make it taste good. He's like a fly. I know we called him that before, like the Jeff Goldblum movie.
It's incredible. I mean, you know, you're going to walk out one day and the bees are all going to just attach themselves to him just to pollinate him. It's incredible.
And still not enough sugar.
No.
There's never
enough sugar.
Come here, Charlie. Come here for a second.
Cane sugar is what he would require. You get him the sugar cane and just squeeze it into the iced tea and it wouldn't be enough. You could throw maple syrup in there, it wouldn't matter.
Is it true or is it not true that even with that pitcher of iced tea and all of the packets of sugar, still not enough sugar?
Very true. Just there was probably 15 to 25 packets tops.
Do you ever buy an iced tea that right off the shelf that's like a regular iced tea with sugar in it that you buy in a store?
No, I don't like those.
It's not sweet enough,
those
right?
Those don't taste good. No.
They don't taste good. And just for the record, that was Laura Korn's publicist, and you did not father the child.
That's correct, on both counts.
Did they pay for lunch?
Yes.
Yes,
of course. That's why Rob, I saw Rob come in. I thought it was a good opportunity for him to eat, too. So.
Yeah, and Rob, of course, couldn't figure out what was going on since... You know, Charlie goes out of his way to make sure, like, that they don't even sit together on the airplane.
I know.
So Rob walked into the restaurant where Charlie was sitting down with Laura Korn's publicist, and Charlie, like, threw up the white flag.
Said, hey, Rob, come on over.
Rob, turn about is fair play. Rob then stiffed Charlie for lunch and left him there with Morticia and the lady with the baby.
That's unusual. Very good, Rob.
There you go.
Wow.
Did you ever get your cell phone back?
No.
Oh.
No.
Man,
no.
Really?
No.
Oh, somebody took it.
I think so.
One of those people that cleans the cars, they took
probably.
Yeah.
You're a fast runner, though, man.
Thank you.
When that little courtesy bus took off, that bus had a half mile lead on you.
You could run fast, too, if you're on a constant sugar high.
I said, there he goes.
All that sugar.
I said, Rob, I bet you $1 he catches that bus. And boom, boy. And then it was even funnier to see him banging on the side of the bus to get the guy to stop.
Fernando didn't want to stop.
Yeah, of course. Faster than a speeding bullet.
He's Charles Broyhill.
It's a constant sugar high. If he doesn't get his supply of sugar poured into his iced tea, he can't run at all. But if he gets his sugar, he's Charlie Broyhill.
So, you know, other than that, the fact I was able to sleep on the flight. Of course, I could sleep on any flight, on any plane, anywhere, but I was aided.
I envy you with that.
I was aided last night by the fact that the movie that they showed was Dr. Doolittle.
All right. Now, I think way back when you were saying that this movie was going to be a disaster, I might have said, hey, I think it's going to be a success. We never really debated this movie, so I didn't line up on one side or the other. I will tell you.
You watched the whole thing?
I think, unquestionably, it is the worst Eddie Murphy movie I have ever seen. Mm. It was terrible. It could not suck enough.
Worse than the Geisha?
Yes.
What was that one he did where he was like a Chinese
The Golden
guy?
Child.
The Golden Child.
Worse than The Golden Child.
Wow.
Worse than anything I've ever seen. Awful. Absolutely. And Albert Brooks, you know, plays a tiger. And I didn't realize that until halfway through the movie, and I'm trying to noodle through that voice, and then I realized...
Well, see, I fell asleep like 5 minutes into it.
It's Albert Brooks with the voice of the tiger. And just not funny. The plot, terrible. Terrible movie, bad ending. You put it all together. Not as bad, I guess, as that one that Charlie Stossel saw that he reviewed for us.
Yeah, but Charlie Stossel said that Jackie Chan movie was a piece of garbage, yet... You know, it was like the number one movie. It made the most money out of any movie that's ever been released this time of year.
Well, Dr. Doolittle made a lot of money, too, but it still sucks. It's awful. It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
I read that in Variety. I went down to the newsstand and bought Variety every day.
Yeah, you got motivated by seeing that outside of Roseanne's office.
Yeah.
Sure.
To make it look like I was a player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, before we caught the plane, I went to this memorabilia store on Sunset Boulevard. I'm surprised, Buzz. You'll be really surprised by this. I bought a Batman picture.
Oh, really?
a picture of Batman that was drawn by Bob Kane, the guy that invented Batman.
Right.
And as I was standing there making small talk with a girl, she's running my credit card through, she says, so, do you live out here? And I said, no, I live back east. And she says, really, what do you do? And I said, I work for CBS. Which... I tell people all the time, because it's a great cover, because, you know, I don't like getting into the whole thing with, hey, I'm a DJ, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, yeah. 60 stations. We're not all over the country. We have 60 stations.
So she says, really, you work for CBS. What do you do? I said, I'm in programming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a lie.
No, it's not.
Since,
true.
You know, radio programming. I program this show, right?
Cool. I'm going to try that.
Right? So then she says to me, really, what do you think of your lineup? So at this point, I'm like 100% lying.
She's asking a question, though, that you know the answer to.
I said, I don't feel real good about our lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, really? My husband and I like the Raymond show. I said, Raymond is a blue-chip sitcom. At this point, now, I've been trying to get out of the store as fast as possible, but
Raymond
is
a blue-chip sitcom.
I actually sat down.
Now I sat down,
and she says, my husband works in post-production on the show Cops. I said, oh, really? Groundbreaking show. I said to the, I was lying to the girl out my ass. I said, I'd like CBS to get into some reality-based programming.
Les Moonves, nice to meet you. Thanks for the Batman picture. I appreciate it. Take care now.
I mean, I was laying it on this woman so friggin' thick. I was like every other idiot that's ever been to Hollywood and gets caught up. This is why I bought the Porsche when I lived out there 17 years ago and hid it from my wife.
Yeah, everybody wants to be more important than the next person.
It's contagious.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she was saying to me, so what's your strongest night? Right? Mm-hmm. I said, well,
without a doubt, it would be Sunday night. I said, I'm no fan of it, but Touched by an Angel does very well for us in the number. You know, like, uh-huh. like I got anything to do with any of them.
But you're faking it good because you know the lineup. You could do that. You could do that for any of the networks and actually and pull it off.
I even lied about my resume with her.
Because she said to me, she said, can you tell me something? What happened to the Ben Stiller show that was on Fox?
Right.
That was a real funny show. I said, yeah. I said, I was involved in some of the decision-making over there then.
And then this when was, you worked for Fox.
Yes, and this was the biggest lie that I told her. I said, you know the Chris Elliott show, Dead Alive? She said, yeah. I said, I kept that show on the air. I swear to God, I mean, I was absolutely lying out my ass.
Sure. Surprised she didn't give you any extra stuff, though, because that carries a lot of weight out in Hollywood. Uh-huh. Here, have a cowl.
No, well, she did give me the... the overnight shipping for free.
Well, let's see. Ah. There you go.
And I did ask her to check into finding me Batman's cowl. She did have Catwoman's cowl from
she did.
From the Michelle Pfeiffer.
Let's see. Ah. See, you're a major player. She's giving you the special treatment.
$6,000.
Really?
I don't think so.
Wow. Michelle Pfeiffer's face has been in it, though.
And so then I said to her, I'm deciding if I'm going to buy this picture of mm-hmm. Batman, this little sketch of Batman that was drawn by Bob Kane. Now, keep in mind, by this time, I've already lied to her and told her that I'm a CBS programming executive and that I've worked at Fox. I said, you know what? I'm going to have to run outside and make a phone call. Then I'll come right back. Now, what she didn't know is that when I went outside, I got my cell phone. I had to call Frida and say, honey, can I buy this?
Right.
Yeah. But meanwhile, I'm standing outside, and it looks like I'm having some kind of important programming conversation, right? Like I'm going, yes, no, cancel that show, and what were the demos like on that, and what were the numbers on this? Meanwhile, you know, what I'm really saying is, you know, honey,
may I have money to buy my favorite Batman picture?
Yeah, would you be mad at me if I bought a Batman picture?
that's great. That's an L.A. exercise. That's great.
Yes, and I know I bust your balls all the time about being an L.A. man, but I was knee-deep in it. Yesterday, and you should have seen the sweater I bought then. Oh, I bought a faggy
L.A. sweater?
Sleeveless sweater vest. God, I can't wait
to see it.
You will never see it, Buzz.
It was just an impulse buy?
It was a one-day purchase. I bought it as I walked out of the store, and I thought, you know what? An L.A. programming executive would not just be wearing a black Nike T-shirt.
Right.
So I walked into whatever the next boutique was and bought this faggy gray sweater.
Got caught up in it.
Right. Because I'm an idiot.
Oh, man, but it's L.A. It catches you. You know, if you lived out there, it'd be dangerous.
Oh, my God, I did, and it was. And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't get your name. I got yours, Vincent, right? But I never got your
name. My name's Pitt. And your ass ain't talking your way out of this.
No. I just want you to know how sorry we are that things got so f***ed up with us and Mr. Wallace. When we got into this thing with the best intentions, really. I never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort. What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
What? What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of. They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother... Do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying. Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, mother. Say what one more goddamn time.
Black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No.
Then why are you trying to... Like a bitch, Brett.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Brett, you tried to pick. Well, Marcellus Wallace don't like to be by anybody except Mrs. Wallace. You read the Bible, Brett?
Yes.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized. It sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17, the path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
The Don and Mike Show.
The guy could have said, I want to dye your hair platinum blonde. And I would have said to him the same thing. You're full of shit, which is what...
Honey, hey, you just dropped the S-bomb.
That's a first.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
What a pain in the ass last night. About 6:30, I didn't trouble everybody listening to the show with this because I air enough of my dirty laundry on this show.
Yes.
But my wife called about 6:30 last night. We're about half hour left in the show.
Right.
We always run over. We always go till at least 7:15, sometimes 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
She calls. She has got a flat tire.
Oh.
Right? And I say, honey, got it handled. Because recently I made a big deal about... going and buying that fix-a-flat stuff.
Yeah, stuff where you put it in the tire and it at least gets you to the next service station.
Right, because I've been having all kinds of problems with one of my tires that was going flat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She goes and looks in the back of the truck and she says, it's not there. And then I remember when I was going through the troubles with my car, that I lifted the can that I bought for her car and forgot to replace it.
So she was stranded.
So, but she called our neighbor and she called AAA. This was the big mistake. I said to her, AAA is such a waste of time. Mm-hmm. They have always let me down. I don't know why we are members of AAA. They blow.
Really?
I said, call the Exxon station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call the gas station and have them tow the car or wait until I get there and I'll change the tire, which would have been ridiculous, me trying to change a tire.
Yeah. Those hands are not meant to change tires.
These dove-like hands, Mike. I got Liberace hands. That's what I got. These hands have never these hands have never done a real man's a real work day in their life.
You don't want those hands.
No, these hands were made to press radio buttons. That's all these hands. And to pick my nose. That's all these hands were meant to do.
So you were hoping to take care of the situation from afar.
Right. She said, I'm going to call AAA. And they said that they will be there within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, what we'll do is on the way home, when I leave the show, she'll call me, I'll pick her up, and then we'll go to the car and wait for the guy to change the tire. Well, I know the AAA always runs late, and right away I ran her an attitude. I said, come on, do we have to? Just call the gas station. Now, keep in mind, my motive was not the fact that I don't want to help my wife, because I know she would help me out of any jam.
Of course.
My motive was that last night was Monday Night Football.
You wanted to get home, and Monday Night Football starts early. You want to catch the game.
Right. And by the time I got home, she had noodled through. That's why I ran her a bit of an attitude.
It wasn't just Monday Night Football. The Packers were playing, too.
Yeah, and I had all those guys going in the fantasy league.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of stuff on the line last night. So we get home. Now, she had the flat tire at 6:30, and her neighbor came to pick her up. So she was at home when I got home.
Right.
I got home about 10 minutes until 8, right?
Okay.
And I was nervous already. I was saying, listen, why don't we just call the gas station, screw AAA. Mm-hmm. They're never going to show up. She says, no, we pay all the money for AAA. They told me they're going to call when they're 10 minutes away.
Now, didn't AAA just have a bunch of member gas stations that have tow trucks?
They had some guy
members.
They had a guy that they had to page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, all right, I'll give this till about 8:15.
Okay.
Till about kickoff, until I'm going to start worrying about it.
Right.
Because this was my mindset last night. When I get home from doing the show, first thing I do, I take off my work clothes.
Yes,
right?
Amen.
I put on a pair of shorts. All right, well, that's what I have on
you
today.
You want to get comfortable when you get home.
Right, and tonight when I get home, it'll mean just taking off the shorts. I'll just walk around in my underpants. But I want to go home, I want to take my shoes off, I want to take my pants off, I want to put on a different shirt, and I want to know that I don't have to move for the next 2 or 3 hours.
Amen.
Okay? So got home, eating dinner, sitting down. Now I'm getting worried, because now the Chris Berman show is on.
Right.
We've got Gifford like a fossil in the box at the ESPN zone.
Got a pretty good TV night on CBS, too, you know, with that Leah Remini and Everybody Loves Raymond on the other channel.
I'm totally focused on the game.
Okay.
This is my tunnel vision, right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm wearing my Packers socks.
It's the Packers, I understand.
I got all my Packer clothes on. And now I'm getting upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's 8:15, it's almost kickoff. And I go back and I go to her, listen, this is not good. Triple A, not reliable.
Right.
She's like, shut up. Oh, it's just stupid football. I said, it's not just stupid football. Now, keep in mind,
it's your passion of passions.
There was a part of me that's also mad at AAA.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So at 9 o'clock, now this is 2.5 hours later, my wife finally calls AAA. They leave her on hold for 15 minutes, and they say, we can't find the tow truck driver.
Helpful.
We're going to page him. So now it's about 9:15, okay?
Right.
They're in the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah, and it's a pretty festive game, too, early in the game.
And I'm finding it hard to relax and unwind and watch the game because I know that at any moment I'm
going to have to go out there to the AAA man.
Yeah. Right.
AAA man.
Right. Meanwhile, my wife is mucho pissed at me because I'm running her this attitude, which, you know, I'll come clean with you about. Yes, I did.
Well, you were distracted and you wanted to watch your football.
I was not the most gallant of husbands last night. So finally, at 9:20, the guy calls. He goes, see, I think I will be there in 10 minutes. So we get in the car, and we drive over there.
Right.
Now, on the way over there, I brought my little Watchman TV.
Good for you.
So as we're driving over there, I almost got in a wreck because I'm trying to adjust the antenna. I'm trying to watch TV while we're driving.
Oh.
Right? Well, it was at this point that Brett Favre was driving the Packers down the field. This is an important game.
So they were going to come back a little bit.
Right. I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
So we get there, and there's the car, my wife's car, sitting on the side of the road.
Right.
And now it's at this point that I have the decision. Do I just dump her there
and leave her waiting for the
tow
truck?
And I mean, you know, this is on a side road where there are no street lights.
Very dark. Yeah.
It's like bad.
Well,
I made the right decision.
Yeah.
She said, I'm going to get out of the car, mainly because she was disgusted with me that I was so focused on the game and not caring about the car.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to wait inside the car with the flat tire for the AAA guy to show up. I said, no. You know. No, I am Prince Charming. You are not going to do that. Meanwhile, the whole time I'm like moving the antenna trying to get better reception.
You're being a good husband.
So fortunately, right at that moment, tow truck pulls up.
Right.
I go, okay. Now, at that point, all the stuff with throwing your coat over a puddle, that goes out the window. I, you know, I kick her out of the car. I go, see ya. If you need me, call me. Goodbye. I go home. First thing I do, I get in. Boom. Pants are on.
Right.
Fuzzy slippers are on.
Right.
I got my big beverage. I'm sitting back. I'm going, oh, this is good. This is so good.
Yeah.
I'm not even mad that the Packers have lost. The next thing I know, I look at the clock and I go, it's 10 o'clock. Where the hell's my wife?
Oh, changing a tire. What's going on here?
Oh, right? Dear. So I call. And she obviously is a little steamed with me that it's been like 45 minutes and I've not even noticed that she's still been out there with Pedro or whatever this guy's name is.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that they sent a retard out to change the tire. That not only did he get lost, he then could not figure out how to get the spare tire from underneath the car. It's our truck.
Right, right.
He then couldn't figure out how to get off. It's a locking wheel system so that you can't just take the lug nuts off.
Right.
Then it's like 10:20, right?
All the reasons why you have got somebody coming out there to help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are the things he's supposed to know.
Now, keep in mind, my wife had the flat tire at 6:30. It's now 10 p.m., and AAA still hasn't done their job.
Right.
Of course, I was not jumping off the couch to go help her. Right? So at 10 o'clock, I say, listen, I'm going to just come out there and change the goddamn tire myself. I mean, screw this. She goes, no, no. And she's trying to be nice because the guy's standing right there. She goes, no, no. He's almost done. You know, as if to say this guy is an absolute idiot. So I go back to watching the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like the next thing I know, I look up and, it's 10:30 now.
Oh, my God, what the hell is going on?
So I call back again. I go, hi, honey. And she goes, oh, hi. You remember who I am? I'm your wife, Frida. Hello.
Oh, dear.
I say, what's wrong? She says, well, the problem is the guy changed the tire. And then when he was trying to figure out some junk on the truck, it's something to do with a four-wheel drive that he, like, put it in low or something.
Yeah, it's the locking hubs that he's probably having trouble with.
So he put it in low, and, like, she started to drive away, and she said she heard a real grinding noise.
Mm.
So they stopped, and they figured out that the guy had screwed up the four-wheel drive system.
Oh.
And then she said, I said, well, is the truck okay? Are you coming home now? And she said, no, the guy's following me for a couple of miles. I said, why would he do that? And she says, well, because he said that he's afraid he ruined the transmission.
Oh, my God.
Right, so my salute is to AAA today.
Oh,
it was like
my God.
11 o'clock when my wife finally got home last night.
Wow. And is the car working okay now?
Yeah, see, it's working fine.
Oh, good.
It's working fine. The car is fine.
Have somebody just eyeball that for you the next time you take it into the gas station.
Yeah. Yeah, so hats off to AAA.
Oh, my. 6:30 in the, and your wife was...
11 p.m. when she finally got home last night.
Walks through the door at 11 o'clock.
11 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Fortunately, I didn't have to miss much of the game.
Hey, you didn't. That's... Sounds like you caught most of that... That game where you packed it and do two.
Then we had a nice sweet fight when she got home because it was like 11:05 and the game was just about over.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to turn it off because I had so many fantasy players in the game. And she says, please, let's just go to sleep. Go back down and watch it. And I said, no, come on. I'll turn it down. Turn it way down. Then the game was over. It was like 11:10. She says, turn it off now. I said, no, I want to watch ESPN because I want to see the stats. Now I want to see how much Chris Carter got.
Oh, my God.
The whole time she's giving me the super cold shoulder. Tell me what a bad guy I am.
Well, this will make you feel any better. I have to apologize to my whole family this morning. I had a wonderful evening last night. My morning was a little bit different. Just from the way it started, I'd like to apologize to my wife and to both of my daughters for the very first words out of my mouth being at the top of my lungs, God damn it. That was really the first
nice,
thing
Mike.
I said.
Very nice.
Catherine comes in at about, I guess we estimated about 5 o'clock. She hasn't been sleeping real well, so she came in, and she crawls in between us, and she's fine. She'll settle right down, and she kind of drifts off to sleep, and we let her do that, and it's okay. And then my other one-year-old, Elizabeth, wakes up at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then she goes back to sleep with a bottle, and then later on, probably at about 6:15, she wakes up again, and at this point, we bring Elizabeth in, and we got the whole family in the big bed, and we're going to watch, you know, Barney, whatever it is.
Very
but
quaint.
I still, I am, because of the various awakenings throughout the evening, I am out and cranky, but I'm more out than anything. I'm lying flat on my back because we're, you know, I'm almost pushed off at this point to the end of the bed, and I close my eyes, and I drift off back into that level of sleep where you're just about to go out again. Well, apparently, Elizabeth stood on her tiptoes, and she's growing like a weed, getting to be a big kid. Stood on her tiptoes, I guess directly across from my groin, and then with all of her body weight, I don't think. Now I, you know, golden retrievers, dogs, kids—they're all supposed to. I've never had a direct hit like this in my life. She got up on her tiptoes and then lost her balance and fell. With her little gorgeous hands balled into fists, both of them.
Right on your nads?
Direct hit
out.
Both of them.
Ouch.
I mean, to the point where I went, God damn it! Like this.
Good morning, Daddy.
They didn't, fortunately, for whatever reason, it was not, because it was just an exclamation of pain and not directed at either one of them, there was not major trauma done.
Good.
But I get up. It was so painful.
Well, we'll see what the analyst has to say about that down the road.
Yeah. She comes down and goes, bam, like that. Oh, and I go, God damn it. And then just the very, you know, the room is still dark. And I fall, like, to my right with putting my feet down because I'm doubling over. I'm in the pain. And then I just went out of the bedroom, walked down the hall into the hallway bathroom, and I slammed the door behind me just to sit there and wait.
Yeah.
You know how it is when you get the direction.
Wait for the pain to go away.
Wait for that cramp to go away.
Right.
And then I come back in and smile at everybody. And you know, and Laura is just hysterical laughing.
Oh,
you know, because I mean, and I went, so you all right, you okay, Daddy? And I said, yes, I'm fine. And then, you know, and Catherine and Elizabeth, they don't know what's going on. Elizabeth didn't mean to do that.
Right.
And it was just, it was the worst awakening that I've had. You know, we've had late nights where we haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but to have both, just, and I had no idea, you know, no idea it was coming. So I'm just completely relaxed, and bam, both of them like that, you know. And then you look at her, what are you going to do, yell at her? So she gives you this big grin.
Yeah.
I smack Daddy in the nads by accident. I'm like, I love you, sweetheart.
Wow.
God, it was agony. Pure agony.
Sure.
And well, the good news is, though, now, you know, I think we always agreed two was plenty. So,
it's taking care of that now, huh?
That settles it.
There won't be any more.
Not after tonight. Good morning, girls.
Yeah, I was cranky this morning, too. Well, I didn't get kicked in the nuts just because I stayed up late to watch the game.
Sure. Yeah. And it's, then, you know, kind of a gray day and all that.
And, you know, when... being as my wife was like worried about a car and everything, and I was just worried about the football, I was technically not allowed to be in a grumpy mood this morning.
Yeah, when I got up. You know. You had to be like hopping and skipping and everything.
My kid is in a bad mood every morning. When Bart gets up every morning, that's the worst exercise. My wife and I have to fight about who's going to wake him up in the morning. He has to get up at 6:15 right. so we can leave the house by 7 because right. The school starts at 8 o'clock.
Not a morning person?
No, absolutely not.
Not many kids that age are.
So this morning, you know, the alarm goes off at 6:15, mm-hmm. and I said, you go wake him up. And she says, no, Mr. Packer, you go wake him up.
What is the exercise? Is it just a difficult procedure?
Well, it's that, you know, you got to go rouse him out of bed. Mm-hmm. You got to turn the lights on. And the first thing you get is that he goes, no, and he pulls the covers over his head. And then you got to go through, I don't want to go to school today. Uh-huh. And then you got to play the exercise of, okay, that's fine. You have to go to school today. But what that means is tonight you have to go to bed at 9 o'clock. Dad, I don't want to go to bed at 9 o'clock. That's too early. I say, okay, get up, get out of bed. So we've got it down to a science now where I give him the first awakening.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then I go down and let out the dogs and start to make the coffee.
Right.
And then my wife has the follow-up duty.
Uh-huh. Right.
Uh-huh. I said duty. Where she has to really get him up and make sure that he's into his clothes.
Uh-huh. Hammer time.
Well, this morning I went in and I got him up and I was a little short-tempered with him. Right. Like he said, I don't want to get up. And I said, you get up and you get your butt downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rah, 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 I'm tired. Rah, rah, Packers lost. Rah, rah, rah. I get downstairs, and Frida comes down, and she goes, good morning. I said, did you get him up? And she looks at me, and I knew right away that my tone was like the wrong tone.
Yeah.
She looks at me, and she goes, pardon me? I said, did you get him up? And she says, what? I said, did you get the little monster up? And she gave me a look like that let me know that I'm the big monster.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, at least I had someone to commiserate with in a carpool this morning. Because the whole way to school, my son and I were just like, I'm tired. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to work. Mommy's car is bad. Packers lost. AAA sucks. I didn't do my science homework. Yeah, and because I was that way last night, that I did not earn the right to be in a bad mood today.
Yeah, if the behavior is questionable the night before, then you have to mind your P's and Q's today.
She pushes me. You know what I mean? She really, really pushes me. That I get back from carpool, and I do my work for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting down. I'm going to have a cup of coffee, watch Regis and Kathy Lee. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there, and I got a hooded sweatshirt on. And I've actually got the hood pulled over my eyes, thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I'll be able to get a little catnap to refresh myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's at that moment, I'm spread out on the couch, and she comes in and she goes, hi. I said, hi. She said, how about going for a walk with me?
You're knowing full well, right?
Right, and I said, honey, I'm tired. She said nothing. Just turned around, slammed the door, and I heard the dogs going crazy, and she's out walking the dogs.
Ouch.
And that was the last contact I had with my wife
tonight. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Well, that means you're going to have to be extra, extra good tonight.
No, I'm going
to
be asleep tonight. She has her yoga class tonight.
Oh, so you're lucky with that.
So tonight I get home.
Fix
dinner for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Watch TV.
Right.
We'll both go to bed early. And then hopefully be able to just start over tomorrow morning when I get up with her.
A clean slate.
Right.
Nice and fresh.
A little break.
All right, I'm super pissed also because I lost my fantasy game.
Right.
Listen, I want to say something. I have the best 1-4 team in the league.
Are you 1-4?
I am 1-4. I am no Norv Turner, I will tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I got a hell of a team.
Right.
I didn't realize that I didn't start Jake Reed last night until this morning, which made me even madder because I thought I won my game.
Right.
I woke up this morning to find out that I didn't win my game.
Man, oh man.
I don't know, you were upset that you lost your game because the other guy had Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, big start, and then 3-2, and I happened to play the guy that had the record for points. I'm having bad luck that way this season, where the teams that I am playing happen to have huge days, and that's very, very frustrating.
I thought for sure that I was going to win because Cakes, the guy that I was playing against, his quarterback was Brett Favre.
Right.
And I thought, what are the odds of this? Brett Favre, who I normally root for, last night had 3 interceptions, played like the big retard he did the first 3 years in the league.
The old Brett Favre.
And they took him out.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth quarter, they took him out. I thought, I got this game won.
Yeah, you didn't realize Cakes is deep. He's got,
He had Robert Smith also.
He's the guy, really, of all the people in our fantasy league that lives it, breathes it, researches it, has the big folder, you know, and then it seems to me that
he's
all
the guy we goofed on for having the notebooks and stuff, and he beat me last night.
And he wins every week, it seems like. He's doing real well, but it's Big Dumb Jim. That's dumb luck. That's what's killing me. You know, it's like, yeah, really, Randall Cunningham. That was, I mean, who at the beginning of the season
he
would
picked,
have paid?
He picked up Randall Cunningham when Brad Johnson went down. That was that was, I think, maybe a smart move that he picked up the backup quarterback.
Oh, screw him.
Pains me to say that.
Oh, my God. Did he really?
Yeah. When Brad Johnson was hurt, he just picked up the backup.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the only quarterback that was there.
Listen, I think you and I will both agree. Yes. I don't begrudge anybody in that league winning the money every week as long as it's not Charles Broyhill.
Yes, Charles Broyhill.
You're right about that?
Yeah, because when I walked out last night and Cakes told me that Charles Broyhill was leading.
Yeah, was in first place.
And it was the largest pot of the year. I said to myself, no! No!
Right.
Be done!
Right.
I don't know. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Listen, I'm better than 1-4. Yeah. My guys are better than 1-4.
Mm.
All right, I'm stupid for not playing Andre Rison and not playing Jake Reed.
Well, see, this is where my lack of knowledge and my, only my second year of doing this, because I'm looking at my roster and I'm saying to myself, major changes have to be made. Because if I don't have Steve Young, if Steve Young doesn't come up big every single week, which he has, I mean, I'm not even competitive. I look down the rest of my team, and I have receivers that are just non-existent. I figured this kid, Peyton Manning, was going to have a fairly decent year.
Have you seen my baseball, Peyton Manning?
And his number one receiver, Marvin Harrison, goose egg, nada, niente, zippo.
Right.
Might be trade time.
Sucks. Very tired. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show. Okay, listen, going to change topics here for a second, okay?
Good.
Oh, although I could certainly continue like this for the next 3 hours or so.
Yeah, we have to have a show where we complain all day. You know, one specialty show where it's just all complaints all day long.
How about today?
You and I do that. You and I could do that, like, for a week.
What? Hello?
Too much football. I want poopy jokes. Farts.
F you.
Yeah, F you.
F you and your family, too.
Yeah, double that.
Okay.
Triple that.
Triple F you.
Quadruple F you.
I told my wife last night, don't call triple A, call triple F.
Triple F.
Actually, quadruple F, if you remember back from high school. Find them, feel them, F them, forget them.
Absolutely.
Oh, you'd say
that's,
you
say that's a 4F girl. Find her,
hey,
feel her.
Hey, lady, what's your problem?
Forget her.
I don't understand fantasy football.
Okay, I don't understand you.
Well, that's okay. I don't have a radio show.
You know something? We don't... The discussion of fantasy football has just been a minuscule part of the opening segment of this program.
Oh, okay.
It has.
You're right.
So what, were you late to the table today? Were you late to dinner? You didn't listen starting at the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
The bulk of the discussion was Don talking about, tire.
Are you almost done with football?
No, we're going to talk about football all day today. And you know what, you little bitch? If you don't like it, change the channel.
Oh.
I can't believe this. I hate the feedback from our listeners. I absolutely hate the feedback.
And a bad day for you to call. You're using bad judgment like you've probably used your whole life.
Aww.
Like your parents used.
Yeah.
When they didn't abort you.
Aww.
Aww. Well, we're not talking about football now, are we?
No. We're talking about you.
Much better.
Boy, I hate having this open, direct line of communication sometimes
first
with our listeners.
First call of the day, and we get this crap.
Not good.
We've got to be the only guys in the world to come to work every day and bust our ass to do a show, and people dare to call us and tell us that they don't like what we're talking about.
Lady, did you wake up cranky this morning?
No.
Well, this is just the way you are every day?
Cranky now.
Were you an only child?
No. No football.
Okay, listen, hey, shut up with that, okay?
Talk about baseball.
Hey, what's your problem?
No problem.
No, I want to know what is your problem. No,
I really don't have a problem.
By the way, something.
Why do you care? You like the show, right?
I love the show.
Of course you love the show.
Then please, just let us do the show and you listen to it.
Okay.
My feelings won't be hurt if we talk about football and you change the channel for a few minutes.
No, I don't want to change the channel.
I mean, just don't call us, and just because you're one thing that's rubbing you the wrong way, just don't bother us with that.
Please.
Okay.
Especially on a day. You know what kind of day Don had, and I
got Mike got kicked in the nuts.
Yeah. You know, my 1-year-old smashed me in the balls this morning.
Listen, do I come up to you and tell you your house is sloppy? Or do I tell you that your hygiene is bad or whatever it is? No! No, I keep those comments to myself. You should keep your complaints to yourself also.
You're a smart man.
I'm a very smart man. No, I'm not. I'm an idiot.
No, you're brilliant.
And I'm tired. Okay? And I will talk about football as long as I want to talk about football.
You picked the wrong day to call.
Okay.
And something tells me that North Turner's picked the wrong day to be on our show.
Yeah.
There's some football for you. We'll have the coach of the Redskins on in about an hour.
You'll want to stay tuned for that, man.
Yeah. I'll be there.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There she is.
She seemed nice.
Right there.
I thought that went very well.
Very nice. Send her a tampon, Ross. An autographed tampon with my best wishes. Lucky tampon. Here's some football music for you, lady.
The lucky tampon today.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing, Don? Mike?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. How about those Packers, eh?
Hey. Everybody's going with football.
Yeah, listen, guys like football.
We love it.
Girls, you know what, you girls, I don't mind girls listening to the show, and women make up a large portion of our audience.
Yeah.
But in general, if you don't like it, go turn on the Elton John station, okay?
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Go turn on that whining Dr. Laura bitch. You know, we're men, okay? We've got something between our legs, mm-hmm. and we like football.
Of course.
And we'll talk about it.
And it's important.
It's very important. It's nearly ruined my marriage. That's how important football is to me in the National Football League. What do you want?
Oh, I just wanted to call about the Packers, talk to you about how good they were last night, eh?
Yeah, he's being, that's the same joke you had at the beginning.
Okay, eh?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra crispy. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good. Right? You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy. I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, that real crispy chicken crust. Yeah, yet it's entirely different. No, they don't.
This will be Wild Lines 30. Take one.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Stop again.
He said, cut it.
Go ahead.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
That's right, cut it.
It's better.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it. Okay, we're recording. Hey.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different. It's entirely different. Whatever, but yes. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratch off of there and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please.
That real crusty, real what kind of damn crispy crust. It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new extra crisp.
Crispy.
New extra crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. Yet every bit of finger-licking good, you see. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes.
All right. Cut. You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Most folks have heard about.
All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
That's why folks call it the game. That's why folks call it finger.
Sounds good.
That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. Right? I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thought you had one of your bitches in here.
What the fuck, hello, brothers? Jinx in the house!
They suck hard and lavish attention elsewhere. Don and Mike.
Thank goodness he wasn't there on Saturday night, because being real overtired, he would have probably really screwed up our poker game.
Well, you know, I don't know. The poker game was, that's not a kid environment, is it? That's when we were there, we were... Yeah, that was rough. It got pretty rough there.
Yeah.
The lingo. We just modify our lingo a little bit.
I imagine that the next time we have a get-together, if he's at home, he'll want to play for an hour or so.
Right.
Then I'll have to set him upstairs so it can be adult time.
Well, I think the secondhand smoke from the cigars alone is enough to kill a small boy.
Yeah, I got to work on some ventilation down in the basement.
It was fine. We had a great time.
So about 7 o'clock on Saturday night, all the boys got together for our first ever poker game.
Would you like to point out the fact that I was early on Saturday night? I was not going to be late.
No, nope.
I was not going to be late.
You were there way early, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
you have to be way early to beat.
You know who.
Yeah. He was punctual.
Yes.
7 o'clock
right.
And 30 seconds, the doorbell rang, and it's Robbie Speedway. Then he bombed a cigarette. So, coming over Saturday night to play poker,
right.
Is Mike and Rob, Johnny Cakes, and E.B. from the Sports Junkies.
That was our poker group.
Now, as it turns out, the sixth guy, my orthopedic surgeon, Tom, he had an emergency. He couldn't make it.
Right.
So it was just us.
The poker gang.
And the first hour...
And you put out a great spread. I got to tell you something. You had all the food there. You had, you know, it was the sandwiches. You had cookies. You had beer. You had sodas. It was great.
Catered by Price Club.
A fantastic job.
The first hour... Very pussified.
Yes.
Very much so, because nobody really knew how to play poker.
Right. It was definitely a slow, slow start.
And, like, nobody knew what the chips were worth. Nobody knew what hand beat what hand.
Certain individuals a little slower than others, you know, as far as the table was concerned.
Are you talking about me?
Talking about EB.
Okay.
EB was the question man. That, you know, every, you know, how many hands do we have to play with? What are the blue ones worth? What are the red ones worth? Come on.
And Rob,
yes.
You might as well step up to the microphone, Rob, and take your medicine. Rob was, excuse me, in charge of the money.
He was in charge of the money. He was kind of the poker expert at the table.
Oh, I got some Vish phlegm coming up.
Hello. Wow, I didn't know I did so bad that I would arouse phlegm in you.
No, I think that's just left over from the weekend, actually.
Okay, good.
So Rob was kind of... Well, Mike kept calling him Felix all night.
Yes,
he kept thinking it was like the Odd Couple.
But he organized all the money. You know, if he'd had an iron, he would have folded the dollar. He would have ironed the dollar bills to put them in the little slot from his little chip wheel that he gave you that you bought for him.
I hate clutter.
You, in anticipation, you know, when you got him that gift, I was saying, you know, you got him that gift, nice gift for the poker game, but it's more or less you wanted that game to be organized, didn't you?
Well, who doesn't want organization?
Wait, hold on. What about... So we're all starting the game. We're going to cash in for some chips.
Right.
So everybody pulls like $5 out. Except for Mike, who brought like 20 bucks and quarters with him.
I was walking with a limp when I came in because I had all this change, and I forgot about the chips that we were going to have. I figured we were going to be doing, you said nickel dime quarter was going to be the game, so I figured we needed the change, and as it turned out, I actually went to that change late in the game.
I ended up with that change after
losing, you know.
And you were a little mad.
Yes.
That you had brought all that change, because at one point you just went over to my ping pong table and you like pulled out all the money out of your pocket. You said, well, that's fine. I'll just leave all my change right here.
And just put a pile of it in the middle of the ping pong table and said, all right, here's my dollar. Give me some chips. And the game was on.
So we got our money and we started playing. At first we played five card stud.
Yep.
And that was okay.
Five card draw. Right.
Then we played... Seven card stud.
Yep, that's where you can peek at a couple of them.
Right. And as we went around...
We all got better at it. We got a little more versed in it, and it made for a more interesting game because the game got a little bit quicker and people started betting a little bit more.
And did you notice that everybody had their own particular game? Because as it went from guy to guy to guy to guy to guy with dealing,
right,
you would be able to pick whatever game we were going to play. For instance, Mike always chose seven card draw.
Seven card stud.
High Chicago,
that's right.
Which was baffling to me why you called it High Chicago, because what it really means is that if you have a spade,
mm-hmm.
and it's a card that's face down,
yes.
if you have
in
a,
the hole.
Right.
In the hole, that was another thing. That's
in,
like
in the hole.
That's almost like boat talk. You know, when someone says the bow and the stern, you just say, listen, just tell
that's
me
the lingo.
The front or the back.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Lots to remember, because everybody had different games that they would play. Mike would pick that one.
I got confused at one point when Rob told me to turn the cards upside down. Turn them upside down.
And, after you had folded. Rob was...
And she said, turn the cards upside down. I said, what? Turn the cards upside down.
He was a big one for the rules.
I said, do you mean turn the cards over? Yes, that's what he meant, because I got confused. There were moments of confusion throughout the game.
But you weren't pleasant when you said it.
I wasn't that pleasant to you all evening long. It was, I guess, the fact that you were to my immediate right. And Rob and I have that traditional way now of dealing with each other whenever we're in that situation.
More your tradition than his.
Yeah, I like to give him the looks.
So we're playing the game, and everybody's got their own thing. EB always takes five card.
The way it would go,
draw.
We would play a game, though, and during the game itself, it would be Dom would bet, Cakes would bet, Rob would bet, I would bet, EB would ask two questions and bet. That's the way it went for the first hour, I guess, of the game before we all and EB not having a good night from the sports junkies.
No. Hey, listen, that was fun.
Yes, that was absolutely fun.
He ended up being the big winner in the night.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 3 hours,
he came on strong, didn't he?
He was getting pummeled for the first 3 hours, constantly losing
really
and getting very mad,
very very mad. And then, well, I play golf with EB, and he's not going to jump up for joy anyway. You know, like we all did, like you and I, when we won the first hands. It's like, yeah, come to Papa, baby. I was hoping you'd win a hand early because we could see the reaction. You didn't disappoint it when it's like, ha, 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 come to Papa.
That's a nice feeling when you reach out on that fuzzy green table and you're able to bring all the chips over to your side.
It is the best.
Now, keep in mind, all the chips that I had won on that hand came to maybe like $6, but...
Yeah, we were playing, nickel dime quarter poker.
There were so many chips.
Right.
It was a fantastic feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd start playing, and everybody had their own favorite game. It would be Mike had the Chicago thing, and EB would take five card, and I would go seven card. And it wasn't until we got to Rob...
That's right, that the trouble began.
Right. Because, basically, we're all very stupid guys. And I thought that everybody at the table felt real good that we had mastered three or four different kinds of poker.
Yeah,
we're sitting there, we're smoking cigars, everybody's betting, everybody knows the hands.
We got showdown.
Showdown!
All right, that was
showdown! That was kind of a lame one.
Showdown's when they're all up. All the cards are up, and you deal seven cards, and everybody knows what they have.
But after about 2 hours, we'd gotten in a real nice groove, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got the World Series on there. We had Johnny Cakes, who might as well have been the waiter.
We made him run that night.
I feel bad about that because it was my house. Yet after I made like three or four trips upstairs to get guys beer and food and stuff.
Right.
One time, Cakes just jumped up and he said, hey, I'm going to go upstairs. Anybody need anything?
That's the worst question you can ask at a party like that, because everybody wanted something.
All of a sudden, everybody said, no. Okay, I'll take a Diet Cherry Coke. Okay, I'll take a Heineken. Okay, I want an Amstel Light. I want some sandwiches. I want some of the sausage balls.
Needed a cart. He actually should have had a cart when he came
in. He did offer the tray around. He brought the tray around.
Brought the tray down.
So I felt a little guilty, though, that Cakes had to go upstairs and, like, be everybody's waiter.
But at the time, he was the winning man. He was winning a lot of the hands.
Yes, he was.
So he didn't feel that bad about it.
So we're going around, and we're getting in a good rhythm with this, where everybody knows what the chips are worth, we all know how to play, and the deal comes to Rob.
Right.
And then we say, what's the game?
Mm-hmm.
And Rob says, man or mouse?
Yeah, let's try something new. It's called man or mouse.
He immediately...
I stand by this.
We said... We said, what is man or mouse?
And I think I actually said to Rob when he said, you want to try something new? And I said, yeah, what the heck, let's try something new. And then the explanation of the game began.
And all I know is about 30 seconds into it, man, my eyes started to roll the back of my head.
30 seconds. It was like two sentences and I saw mouths open staring at me. Like, just looking at me with the blankest expression. So my reply to that was, I meant to say, hi, Chicago.
Yeah, there you go.
But I will not back off. I know I hope there'll be another poker game. And I would like to teach you this game because it's a fun game. It's simple. And it's a way to lose or win a lot of money real fast.
You know, why do I think that you would have won all the money if we played that game?
Well, there's always that, too.
Those rules just sounded a little in-depth, and I think that's why you
there
lost.
There was an awful lot involved with that, Rob. Now, keep in mind.
The thing that gave me the meanest look when I said there are no straights and there are no flushes, which actually makes the game simpler, because you don't have to worry about that.
See, I'm already tuning out of this.
Even Charlie Broyhill likes this game.
Not to mention the fact you were already on my list, because earlier in the evening, I had thought that I had won a huge hand, and as everybody was putting their cards back in the middle for the next deal...
You were getting ready to grab your pot.
As a matter of fact, I was grabbing all of the chips,
right?
And Rob said, he's looking at everybody's cards. You know, why he's not concerned with his own cards, I don't know, but he's looking at everybody's cards, and all of a sudden he says, hold on a second. Hey, Cakes, you had the winning hand.
You have a straight.
Right? Now, right. Cakes didn't even know. That's how stupid we are. Yeah. None of us know, like, a straight, a flush. We don't know right. any of that stuff. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there. I had, like, whatever it was, three aces or whatever.
Right.
And everybody acknowledged I was the big winner in this hand.
You had three aces, and you thought you had the whole shebang. And then Rob says, wait a minute. That's a good hand. You've got a straight. And immediately it came, you know, all the money.
I was so pissed at Rob.
Then I heard the cricket.
I said, thanks, Rob. You couldn't keep your big mouth shut.
Right.
Here I am, finally win a hand.
Right.
And you couldn't keep your mouth shut.
I would have done the same for anybody at the table. It's just the way the game is played. And since he was a novice, I was trying to help
like,
him out.
You sound just like you did the night of the poker game, too, right now. You have the same demeanor. Which
you like
is
that?
The defensive crouch throughout. You know, even though you knew most of the poker.
You know, I know how to play the game. I mean, I know the rules and stuff. And I was just trying.
When you open the
rules,
hold on,
everyone has more fun, right? Mm-hmm.
Did you notice when at one point Rob said, hey, can I use the telephone? And I said, yeah, and I thought he was going to make a call to home to check on his family or something.
Right.
What he was really doing was calling his house to get a verification
of the,
Mike challenged
the value of the hands.
You
yeah.
challenged me on it, and I just wanted to double check.
Right.
I wasn't going to get caught in something that I wasn't right about.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I was right, which I was.
Right.
So
you weren't sure you were right though.
Well, no, because you kept looking at me.
Well, you had to call somebody else.
I called my grandfather.
Your grandfather knew.
Yeah, of course.
Well, all right, calm down. It's okay. The game's
I'll
over.
I'll try to remain as calm as you were at the game.
Well, but okay, here's a question. How come when I lost that hand
yes.
to Cakes, when you helped him out,
mm-hmm.
how come later when EB had the winning hand? But he didn't play those cards. How come you didn't tell EB that he had the winning hand? You didn't tell him until after the game was over. And then you said, well, it's too late.
Because he folded after the game. He folded before the game was over. And so Cakes had stayed in the whole time, so he was still in it. EB eliminated himself before the hand was over.
I don't know.
So many rules.
I'm just saying that's best your choice.
Look at how mad he is now.
You know what? It's funny because when I got home after the game, I thought I had a good time. Now I'm not so sure.
No, we had a good time. You're looking right at me. I mean, I'm not giving you any more dirty looks.
No,
I'm
no,
just
you can.
I'm right. just gonna. I'm just gonna. I'm
we
just,
all had you know, a good time. Didn't
we all had a very
time.
Good time.
Right.
No, we did, Rob. God damn it, we had a good time.
I thought
there was more laughter during that game. I mean, and unfortunately,
laughter,
the vast majority of it we can't share with you on the air because it was pretty naughty stuff.
Salty by nature.
But I'll tell you, I mean, it was the right combination of people, and it worked really, really well. And I thought it was fantastic. You know, outside of Manor Mouse, I thought it was a terrific.
That was the real down moment. That's where everybody, all four other players turned against you when you were explaining Manor Mouse.
Explain Manor Mouse.
Okay, it's a three-card game. One card is up, two are down. And you go for the best hand. If you think you can win, you say you're man. If you want to say you don't think you can win, you say mouse. Everyone who says man competes against each other. If you lose, you have to match the pot.
See, are there too many rules to that?
I thought so, because we had just learned poker at the, you know.
It's much easier just to get seven cards, and you say, okay, these are the ones that I don't like, I'm going to trade them back, and give me some new ones.
I was just trying to expand. It's a real fast-moving, simple game.
You also abbreviated that explanation.
Yeah, when we heard it, it was much longer.
You cut that explanation down to like a nanosecond.
I tried to try and make it a little more palatable to the ear.
See you around.
I was hoping you'd give us the explanation that you gave us the other night.
It's so funny, because you're going to end up loving the game. When you finally learn.
I don't think we're ever going to play it, though.
Oh, I'm so right about this. It's so true. It is so true. You're going to love it. And, Mike, it'll be your new high Chicago.
It will be.
Trust me.
Yeah, I was no more pleased with you with your constant high Chicago.
That's why it's called Dealer's Choice, because you play the game that you enjoy. And I like that game because two people win every hand.
Yeah, it's a good,
that's the only
it's
reason I like that game.
Too.
That's right.
I like just like the basic. I like five card basic retard poker.
I'd like to
like.
Tell you also that I started out strong, and then at the very end of the game, I don't think I won a hand the last six hands.
Well, I started off with $40, and I ended up with $38.50.
So you all can agree, it was an absolute blast.
I absolutely
love it. And time does fly. I would like to apologize.
Four hours.
Yeah, that was
I made a
fast
mistake.
4 hours.
And I want to check you on this, and
okay.
I want to see if I was right about this.
Okay.
I was, because I was losing, okay, towards the end, I was just kind of lingering when I had made a promise to you that at 10:45, my butt was going to be out of the chair.
No, and as a matter of fact,
yes,
I would have liked everybody to have stayed longer
right.
to have played,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that you were getting little cranky, little tired.
Well, if you'd wanted people to stay longer, I didn't, because when you stood up from the table and you said...
I was going on...
That's it. Good night,
okay.
Everybody.
I was reacting to...
You.
Me. At that point. And because, hold on, Rob, will you back me? Never mind, I don't want your input on this.
Okay.
At that point when I said, okay, last hand.
Right.
This is the last hand.
Yes.
When we were done with that hand...
Yes.
Your goodbyes lasted perhaps 5 seconds.
That's because I thought you wanted everybody to be out of there, and
no.
I wanted to charge. Because I looked at my watch at 10:45, and then I said, "Well, just one more hand." Because that's a lot.
I could have gone longer, man.
I could have, too.
That time went real fast. I had no idea it was as late as it was.
I could have gone until midnight. I really could have.
You know, you always hear about these poker games that last an entire weekend where,
yeah.
You know, guys are coming like with 3-day beards just going, la, 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 la.
Well, as a matter of fact,
you just want to keep going and going and going.
When you guys had left, I called Frieda up, and she said, was the game already over? Mm-hmm. And I said to her, first thing I said, yeah, I wish everybody would have stayed because we could have turned off Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And we could have kept playing all the way through Saturday Night Live because every once in a while, because we had the World Series on, like when the Yankees would do something good, it would stop the game, and we would all go, oh, the Yankees suck. Oh, the Yankees suck.
F them.
F the Yankees. And then everybody would, like, go to the bathroom and stuff, and there would be a little break in the game.
It was incredible. It was fun. It was really, really a lot of fun, and maybe we can play your game.
You'll love it.
Man or mouse.
You'll love it. I could teach it to you all in one commercial break. We wouldn't even have to...
Not today, Rob. Please, not today.
I wasn't suggesting today. Just make an example. You're going to love it.
That's and the way we played was pretty much a normal poker all night.
Real
right?
Solid, yeah.
Not
you
a lot of mistakes.
It was like the Odd Couple. It was like those ads on ESPN with the dogs sitting around, where you had five guys in a smoky room with a bunch of sandwiches, having cigars, like yelling at each other and busting balls and playing cards.
And everybody came away. I mean, everybody won enough hands where, you know, they would come back and do it.
Every person had a hot streak. It was just EB was lucky enough to have the last hot streak, so he got stuck with the money.
You can't tell, though, with EB, can you? You really can't tell.
You could tell when he was cashing in.
Yeah, he was...
What about... You were gone by then. He was going, 9, 10, 11, 12, 35, 45. I need 12.50. Money!
Man, all right, so he did that. Was he the big winner?
He was the big winner of the night. What about EB wearing his baseball hat like a rap star? You know what I mean? Of that jaunty angle?
He did.
And he wasn't doing it to be goofy. It's just like the way that the hat would end up on his head. And every once in a while, the game would just stop, and everybody would go, EB, fix your hat. And he's sitting there eating and smoking and drinking. Yeah, and he'd be like, huh?
And at one point it was like,
I need some more blue chips.
On the side of his head. And I said, come on, fix your hat. And he moves it to the 3-quarter mark. Is that all right?
Oh, what?
He'd had a long day, so he'd had a very, very Maryland homecoming all day long for him.
And for the whole first hour of the game, everybody was talking like Johnny Carson.
Yes, it's wild in the hole.
Hi, old.
In the
Zero.
A good poker game, fellas.
It was good. Will you say a couple more weeks?
Absolutely.
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks we'll have another get together?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's great. It's great. You know, and you know me, Mr. Gambler. Up the ante. Let's up the ante. Let's play quarter poker as a
Johnny
minimum bet.
That was great. I liked having all you guys over.
That was a good time.
It was awesome.
It was pretty nice.
Good Price Club sandwiches, too.
Except for that Man or Mouse stuff. It was a fantastic night. But even that was funny, because right away, Rob knew he was defeated.
But Rob always looks right at me. He always looks right at me and just goes, what? I said, nothing. Nothing at all. I'm just shooting him a dirty look.
He kept screaming at Golden and Felix.
Come on, Felix. He's organizing the money. Felix, let's go. Well, for God's sakes, we'll have you dry clean the money.
You know, I bet you're always the banker when you play Monopoly, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah.
Right.
You got it.
And I had a question towards the end. I said, here's a question. When we get done, like, how do we know how much money we have with the chips and stuff? Rob was right on the money. Rob says, well, that's my job. I'm the banker, and I took the money from the beginning, and I will be cashing everything in. That's nickel, dime, and quarter.
He likes that.
I do.
He likes controlling the finances.
The best way to steal from Mike O'Mara.
Many accusations from Mike as the game went on about how Rob...
Well, I figured as soon as Rob said he was the banker, at the cash-out moment,
Rob
it would be something like
a
that.
Lot of our money.
Hey, Don, that's 20 for you. Cakes, 20 for you. Hey, that evens out. Mike, 20 for you. EB, 20 for you. I'm taking home $140. Thank you. Thank you all for playing.
Well, I've accused him of thievery for our entire career.
Yes, I'm used to it.
Good game, boys.
It's all true.
Here's a call about poker. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, you know what? You actually won that hand. Rabe was wrong. If the other guy declares his hand wrong, he has to bet it like he declared it. So you actually won that hand because he called it wrong.
I was helping him out because he was a novice, sir. He had just learned the game about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
Well, so had I.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
But I thought I would have done the same for you.
Yeah, but you didn't.
Okay, well, I'll never do it again.
So technically, once you declare your hand is... So if he comes out and he says, I have two of a kind.
Yeah, if you say I said I have two pair, two aces and two more aces.
Right.
I would lose to somebody with three of a kind because I called my hand wrong.
All right, if you didn't call it a straight, you'd be in trouble.
Uh-huh. Right, exactly.
And Johnny Cakes owes me about 75 cents of that.
We're right.
Card played rule. So.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So next time we play... None of that shenanigan.
Right. Everyone focus on your own cards.
Right, Mr. Helper. Well, you're the one who needs to focus on your own cards.
That's very true.
Rather than worrying, telling Mike to turn his cards face down. What was the point with that?
I was confused. Mike hasn't been dealt in another round.
Next time you want me to turn him over, just say turn him over.
Well, I don't even know why he was doing that, because Mike would say, hey, I fold.
Right.
And it's obvious at that point, like, he would back his chair away from the table.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're dealing and they see the cards up, they're likely to throw him another card.
But when you said, turn your cards upside down, turn your cards upside down. What do you mean? Turn him over? Good. I'll turn him over!
And you did.
I did.
Everyone was happy.
And you know how mad Rob got, like, when the deal was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes if the deal was wrong...
I didn't get mad.
Oh, yes, you did. You wanted a real redeal every time. Like, if somebody got too many cards...
Oh, jeez.
We would just...
Oh, God, no.
We would just go back and say, okay, listen, you take the seven, you take the five, you take the jack of hearts. It was like no big deal to us, but you were really fuming over there.
Just trying to stick to the rules.
Oh, those bastards. No matter mouse.
The rules.
I'll kill them all.
I'll teach them.
All right, we got to do a break. Good game, boys.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Good game. Good host. We had a great time. It was. We had a great time at that party.
Keep killing me.
Keep killing me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To be working?
Until we get an idea, honey.
Oh, that way we'll be here from 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, Rob had opened his big mouth and say we'd write a show for Alan Brady while he's on vacation. Look at them all been resting.
You know, you should have let the network run that old movie like they wanted to.
I got it. An original idea. What's the one thing that's never been done on television?
You can't do that on television.
Oh, shit. What is the one thing that's never been done on television?
Radio.
You want to do radio on television?
Yeah. I say we get a great old radio performer. We can build the whole show around him.
Oh, Rod, most people today couldn't care less about the radio personality.
Sally, I couldn't agree with you more. He's always talking about some radio star that I never heard of.
Oh, come on now. You can't tell me that everybody wouldn't love to see the Mad Russian again, or Arlene Harris, the Chatterbox, remember? Or Merton Marge? Or Edwin Karp, the fish man. He'd be great.
Where are you going to find these people?
Well, we need a little detective work. We can find him. Come on, you guys, a little faith in old Rob.
So what can we lose?
Our jobs.
The Don and Mike Show. Patty Huffman here with the likes of you people.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Do you have that tape queued up, Rob? Okay, tape one. The song that we missed a couple of weeks ago that Kathy C. Gifford wrote about herself and all of the, quote, problems she's had in the tabloids.
I am so looking forward to this.
She is such a pompous ass.
I have never heard this.
She had to repeat the song on today's show because when she originally sang it, remember we told you about this?
Yep.
The ABC network cut them off on many stations for a special report about the Clinton hearings.
Yes, and she was furious, and I guess her mommy and daddy didn't get a chance to see it down here in Washington.
So here it is now, and we'll be able to dissect it bit by bit. And please pay special attention to the condescending way in which Regis introduces Kathy Lee singing.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is from today's Regis show.
All right, so we had a little fun with the fact that a news break-in interrupted Kathy Lee, but what an interruption. I swear, it was really something. Just as the woman took a breath, boom, we cut to Washington.
You love this.
We almost died because, but he didn't know it. Nobody knew it. You know, they just take these things away from these syndicated shows. So you may have seen it in some markets, but we wanted to bring her back to sing this song one more time. It's called You Sell. She wrote it with David Friedman. One of the songs she performed at Rainbow and Stars. And now here is the one, the only, the indomitable, the irrepressible Kathy Lee Gifford.
Well, that's us sweetening it.
They put you on TV and you la-la out of tune. It's swell.
It's like a Mark Russell song.
Oh, God. I'm going to vomit. Oh, it's just bad. It's worse.
They put you on TV. They sell.
It's swell.
Sell. They put you in commercials and you promise folks the moon. It's swell. You sell. They put your face body in a red light. People now suspecting that they're being had. No! You sell.
Nice voice.
You sell. Yeah. They put you on the cover and say you're crying the blues. It sells. It sells. They say you're leaving Regent. That's supposed to be news. It sells. It sells.
Doesn't sound like the crowd is with her.
Oh, my God. I didn't think, reading the lyrics, I said, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I couldn't think
it's
it would
worse
be
worse hearing her sing it, right?
It's 10 times worse.
And doesn't it ring kind of hollow when a woman who will pose for any magazine cover,
right,
be it Red Book,
sure,
Family Life,
right,
People Magazine, for her to bitch,
yeah,
about being on the cover of a magazine?
Well, so complete. I mean, her level of self-absorption is so total. I mean, everybody that's in any kind of show business at all has to have an ego. But this is so out of control.
Not you and me, Mike. And have I mentioned, an hour into the show?
Yes.
Perfect job again.
Stellar job today, Doc.
Well, they put you on the cover, say your marriage is over. They put you on the cover, say your husband's a rover. They put you on the cover, say your kid is a brat. You once were anorexic, but now you're getting fat. They put you on the cover, say she's crying again. And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend.
Because she's so big. She is such a big star, Kathy Lee, but you're able to laugh at it all. You're just so great.
So together.
Yeah.
You're such a woman, Kathy Lee.
Today you're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going broke because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you...
Hey, I never heard she had a problem with pills. Back that up, Rob. Don't you say you're battling with Rosie and pills?
Yeah, I guess so.
Put you on the cover, say she's crying again. And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend. The next day you're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going for...
Rosie and pills?
Hmm. I guess that's a tabloid we missed.
Okay.
Because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you've had. And now you're close to suicide because it turned out bad.
Now, what does that sound, Rob? What
that
is she doing?
Her pulling her face back like bad surgery.
Oh, like bad surgery.
It didn't really change her face.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, nice little choreography number there.
Gotcha, Kathy C.
Well, do I keep it living with all those cancer scares? How do I keep on smiling when greeted by those stares?
Cancer scares? Does she have cancer?
I didn't read that in the tabloid either. Well, she's bringing it up, so, you know, it's interesting.
How do I keep my sanity when facing all those lies? How do I manage motherhood? Who cares? Who cares? There must be something missing from somebody's life when they'd rather read about the plight of Frank Gifford's wife. Is this really what's become of what used to be news? Perhaps the thing they're missing is a carnival cruise!
And her voice also is toast. Do you hear? I mean, she's like, she's squeaking it out.
In the same song that she's bitching about commercials.
Right.
And commercials selling people junk they don't want.
Right.
She still puts in a plug for her own cruise line commercial.
Beyond shameless.
Right? This is beyond hypocritical.
And beyond out of control.
Aw, damn it.
Everybody always picking on me, please tell.
Because you are such a C.
Please tell. Why am I the butt of all those jokes on TV? It's hell. It's hell. I really oughtn't take it so personally. To them, I'm not a person, but a personality.
Yeah.
You sell.
Who's that? Is that the Richard Simmons Choir in back of her?
Oh, God, please, when will we be rid of Kathy Lee?
Well, to back it up a little bit there, Rob.
Hold on a second. I want to make sure I get every last drop of this.
This is... I never believed it could be this bad.
It's so Kathy Lee-y.
You sell well. The critics and the pundits ponder endlessly. When, oh God, please, when will we be rid of Kathy Lee?
Amen.
I wish they had the answer if they only had a clue. I would truly die of shock if I got a good review. But that's never going to...
So imagine that she's choreographing. She goes, and then when I sing, I got a good review. Hit me with a kazoo.
Oh, that'll be great. Fantastic. Great job. A tribute to me.
I'm so great.
God.
My future is secure. I'll keep on filling pages that smell faintly of manure. It smells.
Is that Gelman?
They'll all be filled with drama, pain, and misery, and vice. Because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice. You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity. Maintain my famous vanity.
I just got to stop this. Can everybody else hearing this and the people watching this today, do you realize what a phony bitch this lady is? Does she really think that she's pulling the wool over everybody's eyes
yes,
with this
does.
Poor, poor, pitiful me crap?
She certainly does.
Listen, Kathy C., anytime you want to change lives, let me know. You got it so friggin' bad. God damn.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yes.
You want to pull your hair out.
She got everything everybody wants. Just shut up.
And she, you know, and the reviews and the whole way she talks like some kind of Broadway diva, which she could never be because she doesn't have the talent.
God damn it. You got the easiest ride in the world. You go on TV for an hour every day, and when you take out the commercials, you really work for maybe 40 minutes a day. 40 minutes a day, you make like $10 million a year. Everybody kisses your ass. Just shut up! Shut up. You know,
shut up!
The poor, poor, pitiful me stuff is what just drives me over the edge.
Of course.
Right?
She's always been like that. She's always been like that. She has been. She is the Pollyanna of Pollyannas.
If you don't like all the publicity that comes with it, go off TV.
You can hear. And to me, listening to that audience, you know, they're kind of fence-sitting. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my God.
She's getting the polite, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
She used to a long time ago. She had that audience. She had that blue-haired audience with her. She doesn't have that audience with her anymore.
If she can't get that audience, there's no audience
absolutely.
You can get.
That's
because
right.
That's her audience.
Well, you know what? She's played that card too many times. Mm-hmm. Too many times she sits up there with Regis and she'll say some self-righteous statement like, well, that's why we call it America. And now she says that crap, but she waits for the audience.
Yeah, and there's usually nothing now.
To applaud, right. Oh, Kathy C.
Vice, because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice.
Oh, shut up.
You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity, maintain my famous vanity.
That's true.
It's the first true lyric.
I've learned to laugh at critics and to laugh at all the jests. Yes, the press is tough. The paparazzi are just past.
See, here's the other thing. She obviously has not learned to deal with the critics because she has to write a song about them.
Exactly. And she can't laugh at it. She has not learned to laugh at it. This is not learning to laugh at it. Hey, the truest thing in her famous vanity.
Why don't you just be a little more like us, Kathy Lee? We hate being criticized. We just come right out and say it.
That's right.
Don't criticize us. Don't say anything bad about us. Don't write anything bad about us. And if you do, we will be all over you.
That's the honest way of dealing with it.
Right? Nobody likes being criticized.
Nobody does.
But it's fun to criticize you, Kathy C. It
certainly is.
But you people have been great to me.
You people.
You're the reason that I stay.
God, don't leave, Kathy Lee.
Please stay for us, the people.
Yeah. You stay. Thank God you're staying. And you stay for the people. You don't stay for yourself, you bitch.
I'm sorry.
And the millions of dollars you make.
We, the people.
The people. You people are the reason I stay. Oh, we're so grateful to you, Kathy Lee.
Jesus Christ. Back it up, please, Rob. I missed the lyric there.
Yeah.
Missed the lyric.
This is where she has her naughty booze reference.
Yes, the press is tough. The paparazzi are just past. But you people have been great to me. You're the reason that I stay.
Ugh,
with a lot of help from heaven. And a lot of Chardonnay.
flash in your eye. Then right, there she goes again, starting to cry. When in fact you're really laughing because you know it isn't true. They're writing about someone, but that someone isn't you. Yeah. If I believe that crap I read, how I'm a woman filled with greed, really is a heartless jerk who loves to put small kids to work.
I believe that.
The yeoman this, the hippie this, the phony witch with phony. Left her way up to the top, and tops and tops and just won't stop. I'd hate me too.
Bravo, Kathy Lee.
God, it was like an anthem. You know, I mean, it's the longest song in the world.
On behalf of all the people.
You people, you are the reason that I say, don't leave us! God, don't leave us!
Just say, F you, Kathy Lee.
Oh, I'd love to say
on behalf of all the people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Man.
Oh, that was worse than reading it in the newspaper, wasn't it? And there were more lyrics there than were printed in the newspaper.
You know, unfortunately, there is someone who is so completely and totally out of control.
My God.
That is no checks and balances. And you know that Michael Gelman, the producer of that show, and Regis...
They're dying during that.
Those eunuchs are sitting over there right now. You know,
after the show, they probably go out, they have a drink. They go, did you hear that bitch today, Michael? Did you hear her?
You know, I'll give it to Regis. The best part of that whole tape was Regis talking about when she got cut off.
Yeah, he loved it.
And his unabashed joy about that.
It.
And I would have loved to see his face. Rob, you watched it, right? What was his? What was the look on his face after that?
It was glee, wasn't it?
Sheer and utter delight, then right. Sort of trepidation afterwards. He brought her out a bouquet like they do, you know.
Oh.
And then, you know, a lot of times they even do like a gradual fade to like a New York skyline.
Yeah.
Hard cut and gone. There was no dialogue after that applause you heard. It was just gone.
Oh, God.
Oh, idiot.
Oh, you better hate to, it was great to analyze. It was great to rip apart.
The paparazzi's tough.
They're just pests.
Oh.
But you people are the reason that I stay. Yes, of course you stay. You're such a martyr. You're such an incredible martyr. You're the one that had your name on the fashions with the kids in the sweatshops.
Anytime you don't like it, quit. Quit. Regis will put his old lady on the show with him.
Because you'll never quit. You're like Nosferatu. You're like a vampire. You are. You're like somebody who gets out of a coffin every day because
you remind
survive.
Me of Jeff Hedges. Ow!
Hey kids, it's Daddy Scatty. On today's show, I'll be joined by Kathy C. Gifford.
She'll be crawling out of her coffin too.
Ow!
Daddy Scatty. Unbelievable.
Hello, Donna. Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I just want to say something. When we were talking about the ratings before, I want to thank all you people. Thank all the people.
You're the reason that we stay.
You're the reason we stay. Not the fact that we make a pretty good living doing this. You're the reason we stay.
That's right.
We're here because the people demand it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, fans.
We love it.
And Chardonnay.
Yick.
Hello.
You know, reading the lyrics, I had no idea it could be worse. That much worse it was.
Kathy C., keep killing me.
Keep killing me!
Her little Broadway tune.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I just want to let you know, after listening to Kathy Lee crap, I will never need X-Lax again. I'm telling you, that it's coming out of both ends.
You know, I feel a little of the pain, too. I really do after listening
to
that.
It's a good thing today's not the underpants bit day for that bet. Hello, Donna Mike. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
A little Kathy C. update I haven't heard you talk about. Let's see, the 25th of this month, an interactive episode of The Simpsons. It'll be Kathy C. and Regis interacting with Bart and Lisa.
I think, Buzz, didn't you have that during the news a while ago?
You're really going to do this.
They're really going to do this.
Buzz, he's just asking you a question. We just want to know if they're going to be on TV. Wow.
Well, Buzz, I'm sorry. I didn't know you already had it. You scooped me.
Yeah, right, Buzz.
Sorry, Buzz.
No, you're the man, Buzz.
What a guy.
Yeah, he is.
Don't forget the newsmaker hotline, right, Buzz?
No. Oh, nothing to fear.
So I can't apply for the job. It's taken.
No, best news tip of the week gets $1.06.
Right.
From our friend Guy Birdley.
And the little Chardonnay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
It sells. It sells. Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your comments on the part where she's talking about her husband having an affair and our marriage is fixing to break up, and I'll just hang up and listen to your response.
I know that, you know, the whole thing, the whole song is just ridiculous.
And the false modesty, you know, when she makes her, I'm just Frank Gifford's wife. Yeah, yeah.
BS your Frank Gifford's wife.
You married Frank Gifford because it was the name. You married that name.
Frank Gifford is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be... Well, his name would be Kathy Lee Gifford if he was the wife.
His name would be Frank Epstein.
Frank Johnson.
Frank Johnson.
Hello.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
You guys could not have played that tape at a better time, man. I got my lunch break, man. I got all high. I look at that. Mr. Blew a nad, man.
He about blew a nad, Mike.
Kathy Lee has that effect on people.
Hello, Donna Mike.
I told Rafe if he didn't put me on the air, I was going to start running people over on 270. That was absolutely heinous.
Yeah, it was. That's a great word for it. Heinous was the word.
It sells.
What you would be like as a remorseful drunk?
It sells.
I'd like to, man, I would like to just, you know... I'd like to see her after three bottles of Chardonnay, you know, and get the real Kathy Lee.
Listen,
I think she drinks Mad Dog 2020.
I want to tell you something about the stupid effers that listen to my show every morning. That show is nothing without me. I hate Regis. I hate Michael Gelman.
I got to go down to another effing Walmart to walk in there and sell my products.
I wouldn't wear that crap if they pay me. I wear Nicole Miller fashion.
Yeah, my sisters are such a pain in the butt. The only reason I keep them in the act is so they don't call me a B.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk about Kathy Lee.
I think Cody's retarded.
Hello.
That boy ain't
Hello.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
The real Kathy C. Gifford.
Sure. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio. Do you have your radio on in the background there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn it down, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
Hello.
What?
Yeah, I know how she copes with all that now. She's an alcoholic.
All right. Thank you.
Very astute, sir. Very much worth the wait. You're right, Buzz.
Bye, Dumb Buzz. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing the show.
Oh. I'm just sitting here listening.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Cody.
Hey, Cody. Hey, dude.
I don't like the way you talk about my mom, man.
Cody, you uptight about that?
Yeah, she got me down here working, and I didn't take a break, and I don't think that's fair, man.
Hey, Cody, you ever see your mom naked?
Yeah, man. Her things go straight down, man.
Oh, her boobs go straight down?
Yeah, man.
Cody, were you 8 or 9 when you started talking like Joe Walsh?
Nine.
Hey, man.
Nine, man.
This is Cody Gifford, man.
Mom, I don't want to go down to Cody's house.
Hey, dude. This is Cody Gifford, Mom.
Hello, Don and Mike. Your last call. Hello.
How you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I just wanted to know what Buzz's opinion on Kathy C's song was.
Excellent question. Buzz, what do you think of Kathy C?
Buzz?
Come on. Come on, Buzz. Come on. Well, he's thinking about
it. He's pondering his response, sir.
Question, what was the question again, sir?
What did Buzz feel? How did he feel about Kathy C's song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what I figured.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, that's scary.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I am never doing that again.
What? You mean in your mother's house or all together?
All together.
Oh, yeah, right.
Come on. You don't think I can?
No chance.
You think you could?
Well, I know I could hold out longer than you.
Care to make it interesting?
Sure, how much?
$100?
You're on.
Wait a second. Count me in on this.
You?
Yeah.
You'll be out before we get the check.
I'm going to be in on this, too.
Oh, no.
Why?
Because you're a woman.
So what?
It's easier for a woman not to do it than a man. Oh. We have to do it. It's part of our lifestyle. It's like shaving.
That is such a baloney. I shave my legs.
Not every day.
The Don and Mike Show.
I can't remember being surrounded by so much happiness.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I can't wait to come back tomorrow.
Rich with floating particles. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
question. A question for our Jewish friends listening to the show right now.
Holiday time, right?
Right. Now, I always get them mixed up. Tonight it's Yom Kippur, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starts tonight at sundown.
When we were out out on the West Coast, it was, I believe, Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. Now, this may be a surprise to some of you. I am not a Jew.
You are not?
I am not a Jew, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to have to conclude this broadcast right now.
I have many questions about Yom Kippur. Now, you know what I should have asked? I had a mother on the phone today. Bart's going to a bar mitzvah this weekend, and I had to get directions. I should have asked her. This the one that's tonight, that starts at sundown.
This is the biggest, I think.
Right. This is where, if I'm not mistaken, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to drink water or teas or coffees or Coca-Cola. You can't drink anything. You got to fast. You got to atone, right? You got to say you're sorry for all the crap. And this is the one that I'm not sure about. It's like an Amish thing where you can't use any modern conveniences.
Oh, really?
Where you can't use...
You have to be home by sundown.
Too. Yes. Where you can't use electricity.
Right.
So here's my question.
So no TV.
If you're of the Jewish faith,
mm-hmm.
And now on the East Coast it's getting dark like at 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
What do you do at 7 o'clock? Just leave your car on the side of the road and walk home?
My brother-in-law was with an Orthodox Jewish person who he worked with, and he was driving, and they had a meeting that was about 2 hours away from his house, and it was getting late. And he actually, you know something, this wasn't a holiday either. This was actually, I think, on a Friday night or some night where they had to get back before sundown.
Right.
He actually went into the emergency lane on the Tappan Zee Bridge, was driving with the wheels up on the unlevel pavement.
Right.
Driving along, and he finally dropped my brother-in-law off and told my brother-in-law to call because they feel so strongly about the
religion.
Right,
because you're not allowed to use conveniences.
And it was something where he had to, and it was, I think,
what's
it was
up
even,
with that?
It was actually even beyond Orthodox, where he called and said he's on his way, where is he, and it was raining, and it was just, but it's an interesting story. I don't even think that was a holiday. I think that was actually just a regular Friday night, but I don't know enough to comment on it. But tonight I think is the biggest holiday of the Jewish year, I believe. I could be wrong.
And you can't watch TV?
Well, I don't
and
know.
You can't have anything to eat?
Very,
what kind of a holiday is that, man?
Aren't there varying degrees, though?
Yeah,
there are people that worship in different ways.
That's what I got to know. Where's Faye Weber when we need her? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, is this Don?
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hi. I wanted to clarify, I guess you had some questions about Yom Kippur.
Yes, now, the fasting, that's a reality, right? You're not allowed to eat.
Exactly.
And is this the biggest holiday of the year?
Oh, it's big.
This is the big one, right?
Oh, big.
All right, what about drinking? What about even drinking water?
Was it Buzz that said it goes in degrees?
No, I just said that Buzz is not here.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm Mike. I do the show with Don, sir. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi. I thought it was the Don show.
Yeah, okay.
I know Mike's always very flattered with someone who takes him for Buzz Burbank.
Thank you so much. Okay, but you were saying...
It goes in degrees, and people can be as religious as I guess they choose to be.
All right, well, what's the middle standard?
What's the regular, practicing Jewish person do?
What about, like, TV and radio and electricity? And I even had someone during the break tell me that technically, before sundown, you could turn your lights on and you could have electricity and modern conveniences, but that you couldn't go to turn the light switch off once the sun went down.
Cool. Well, actually, the Orthodox or the most religious, that's every Friday night and Saturday to them. Every single Friday night and Saturday.
That's what I heard, Friday night and Saturday. But for Yom Kippur...
It's the same. It's the same. And some people do follow that, some people don't.
What about you?
I watch TV and turn on lights and I drive, but I fast. And
you fast?
I do fast.
Now, but you're a
slacker Jew.
You got it.
Now, isn't it followed by a big feast?
Yes. Yes. Tomorrow night we break the fast.
Any gifts or anything like that?
No gifts.
No gifts.
No gifts.
Oh.
Could you use matches?
Could you use matches?
You know what I mean? If you can't use electricity and stuff, could you use matches?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't
know. Now, see, I think we need to speak to someone who's perhaps...
Someone who's a little more Jewish, maybe.
A better Jewish person.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike. Where's Al Goodman when you need him?
Alan Goodman. I think, bent every rule of the Jewish faith imaginable.
Alan Goodman, listen.
I don't want
to get him in trouble, but I just want to say, I was at Alan Goodman's house having a rather raucous party one Yom Kippur Eve about 12 years ago. Okay? And none of these rules were being watched.
Yeah, Alan wouldn't be the right guy to ask about it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike. Mike, hey, did you catch the Red Sox game? They spanked the Indians.
They did. 11-3, the final. Way
Hold
to go.
On, two home runs, baby. 7 RBIs.
Way to go, Mo. He tied the American League record.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. How will Mo Vaughn be celebrating Yom Kippur tonight?
He just makes sure that team plane gets about, or the team bus gets back to the hotel before sundown.
Team buggy. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, radio gods.
Hi there.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Are you going to answer our questions about Yom Kippur?
Sounds to me like any guy says, hey, how y'all doing is not necessarily of the Jewish faith. Hey, how y'all doing?
Where's that rabbi that we have on the show every Hanukkah that brings all the dreidels in and stuff like that?
Oh, it brings that good stuff to eat.
Except for those potato pancakes that one year.
Well, Rob likes them. Well,
Rob ate them, man, for whatever reason. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Rob eats anything.
Except custard.
Because Robbie doesn't like custard. Robbie doesn't like custard.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm going along agreeing with the guy that said on every Friday and Saturday night if you're Orthodox Jew.
But listen, what about for your mainstream Jews who are celebrating Yom Kippur tonight, who are going to be atoning, how much fasting, how much electricity, are you allowed to watch TV, will you be able to listen to our whole show?
I personally?
Yes.
Do everything I would normally do every other day of the week.
See, I'd like
Another
to talk.
Slacker Jew.
I'd like to talk to an Orthodox Jew, somebody who could actually give us a little perspective. It's Orthodox, Reformed, and then something else, right?
My sister spent a weekend with a real rabbi, and
really,
with
was he circumcised?
I don't know, but on a regular for an Orthodox Jew, they walked to their temple, and
did they all speak as slowly as you're speaking?
Yes. One of the kids started crying and raised a fit and sat down on the ground, and they would not do anything until the child got up by himself because they could not get up. They could not help him because that was considered work.
Wacky, man.
Boy, that's interesting.
Wacky.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
My name is Jennifer. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Hi, Jennifer.
I can answer some of your questions about Yom Kippur.
Okay. Yeah, because, to be honest with you, those last couple of guys were slackers.
Yeah, right. Okay. I mean, I'm not that good of a Jew, but, I mean, I still can answer some of your questions.
All right, well, listen, you know what? Maybe we're finding out now that basically all the Jews, at least the Jews that listen to this show,
yeah, are slackers.
That they're all slackers.
Yeah, that could be true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jennifer, will you be fasting?
Yes, actually, even though I'm pretty much non-practicing and I'm going to be working.
Non-practicing? I'm sorry that you fit into the slacker category.
And if you're going to be working, isn't that another thing that you shouldn't be doing? Shouldn't you be at home atoning for your sins?
Well, I'll be atoning for my sins at work.
Oh, see, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to work after sundown, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're not supposed to work after sundown. And also, with the eating thing, really nothing is supposed to pass your lips. So you're not supposed to brush your teeth. You're not supposed to take a sip of water. You're not supposed to chew gum. Nothing.
Really? I could never be a Jew.
No,
there was no way I could live up to that high standard. Listen, when you get past the electricity and the TV, you lost me already. It's like in Jerry Maguire. You had me at hello. That's what I say to the rabbi. You lost me on Yom Kippur.
How long between sundown and before you get to have the big feast?
Until the following sundown.
Oh,
so
wow. So you
tonight,
have to, boy, that's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, you can have a big dinner tonight, and then you go to sleep. You go to services all day tomorrow.
Can you douche during Yom Kippur?
Water. That's probably considered work.
Yeah.
Well, I know with Monica Lewinsky it would be work. It would be overtime work.
You say you have a big dinner. Does the big dinner have to be consumed before sundown?
Yes.
Oh, all right. So there is a big dinner at the beginning.
Yes, and at the end there's an even bigger dinner.
Oh, well, cool. See, well, then you get kind of a head start.
Yeah,
you can just stuff yourself.
Well, yeah. you think that that would work. You think that if you ate the night before, that the whole next day, if you had a big dinner, you'd be fine, but...
Not that food is my life, but, like, what is served? Is there a traditional feast for the big dinner?
Well, yeah, like, you'll have chicken and maybe potatoes, and they'll light candles, and they'll say a couple prayers, and you drink wine, and...
Oh, you can drink, too?
Oh, yeah. Well,
up until sundown.
Yeah. Right, until sundown.
I would, I'd just have a bottle.
Hey, yeah, are there any Jews listening to the show right now who, like, get super bombed? Until 6:59
Right when the sun's going down. And if it's still, like, hazy in the sky, you know, if there's still light, I mean, can you still, like, have that extra glass of wine?
But if you really wanted to watch the baseball game tonight?
I guess that's a technicality there. You know, you sort of got to do how you feel.
Well, it's a good thing Yom Kippur didn't happen on a Monday night. What a choice that would be. Monday night football or your faith?
That would be very tough.
I'd say goodbye, God.
Right.
Hello, Tampa Bay.
And I bet it's not. I bet it's not degrees. I bet it's not a judgment call. I bet it's actually there somewhere. It's written where, you know, what sundown really is.
Yeah. Bring me the book of Jewish rules, please.
Oh, I left it at home. I was reading
it. Oh, you left it at home. Okay. All right. Hey, Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, and Jennifer had some interesting information, but I must point out, Jennifer also a slacker.
So slacker Jews.
We haven't gotten the real non-slacker Jew to call the show yet.
And maybe that's because... The person that would strictly adhere to those rules
probably
would find this show terribly offensive.
Right? We don't know. I would think that we would have Orthodox Jews that listen to this show.
All right, listen, we'll find out. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, thanks for picking me up, man.
Yeah, no problem. I've been driving for like 15 hours straight, so I could use the company.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been standing in the same spot for 5.5 hours. You know they made it illegal to hitchhike in this state?
Really? Oh, that must make it really tough.
So, what's going on with you? You a salesman, or?
No, I'm nothing.
I am.
Yeah?
I'm a salesman. I'm going to start my own company.
Really?
You want in?
I'm not. I don't really have any, you know, money or...
You heard of this thing, the 8-Minute Abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-Minute Abs. Yeah, the exercise video. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this is going to blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-Minute Abs.
Right. Yes. Okay. All right. I see where you're going.
Think about it. You walk into a video store, you see 8-Minute Abs sitting there. There's 7-Minute Abs right beside it. Which one are you going to pick, man?
I would go for the 7. Yeah.
Bingo, man. Bingo. 7-Minute Abs. And we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-Minute, folk.
You guarantee it? How do you do that?
You're not happy with the first 7 minutes. We're going to send you the extra minute. Free! See, that's it. That's our motto. That's where we're coming from. That's from A to B.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6-Minute Abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
No! No, no, not 6. I said 7. Nobody's coming up with 6. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse on a wheel.
Good point.
7's the key number here. Think about it. Right. 7 elevens?
Yeah.
7 dwarfs? 7, man, that's the number. 7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? It's like you're dreaming about gorgonzola cheese when it's clearly brie time, baby. Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're freaking fired.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, there's no justice like angry mob justice. Good. Good. Like corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Happy Yom Kippur if you celebrate.
Yep.
We don't know dick about it.
We're trying to find out. We're trying desperately to find out.
Religion? Not really my bag, man. I used to be a Catholic.
Right.
Then I got kicked out because I got divorced.
Yep.
You know, they do that to you. If you get divorced,
a lot of rules in the Catholic faith.
Right. I said to the Pope, I said, but Pope, look at her. Look at her. What a bitch she is. What a mistake I made. And he said, hey,
that's it. You're out. The law is the law. And you spent a lot of money on that flight to Rome.
So now I'm an Episcopalian, which is like Catholic light.
Yeah, it's JV Catholic. It's exactly what it is.
But there's hang-ups with that even, with being Episcopalian, you know.
Well,
it's got some drawbacks.
Well, it's an organized religion, and there are, I think, hang-ups with every organized religion.
And then you got your Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
Got your Baptists. You got your Southern Baptists.
Well, you're a Protestant.
I'm Episcopalian.
That's a Protestant.
There's slight differences, Mike.
You're a Protestant.
I'm an Episcopalian.
That falls under the umbrella of the Protestant faith.
Well, it does. It does. Well, you know, religion is interpreted in many different ways.
That is, there are different denominations of the Protestant faith. The Episcopalian is a denomination of the Protestant faith.
I ain't no Protestant.
Yes, you are, Don.
Don't you call me those names.
You know, though,
Mike O'Mara... Catholic!
No, I'm out too!
Catholic! That's name calling.
Protestant! Catholic!
Buddhist! Hindu! Zen master! Well, listen, it's confusing as hell.
It is confusing.
All I know that... Hey, Methodists. Let's hear it for Methodists.
Methodists, yes. Other Protestants.
All I know is that of all of the religions,
yes.
It seems to me that Jewish people get the most free days off.
It always has seemed like that
right?
to us. It is really, there's always this time of year, which we have always felt is just a great time of year to have a day off.
Right, yeah, perfect.
And Hanukkah, you know, we get one Christmas.
Yeah, right? they get seven Christmases.
Eight, isn't it?
8 days.
Yeah, and I know a lot of families, a lot of Jewish families, that celebrate Hanukkah.
And Christmas.
And Christmas.
Which is the ultimate bonus.
Wow.
Man.
How about that? Hey, could I just be Jewish for a day so we wouldn't have to come work tomorrow?
You know, conceivably, you could spend the year converting to the different faiths and have 1 year where you would get every religious holiday if you were able to, you know, pull it off.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be worth it if you really had to, like, do all the work in jail.
No, it probably wouldn't. It'd be more work than it would be.
Hell, I could just lie and call in sick tomorrow, and I wouldn't have to worry about converting anything.
That'd be great, you know, if you wanted to try it for one until they caught up with you, you know. Excuse me, I'm taking a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur off, and did I mention I will also not be here on Good Friday or
Easter Sunday? All right, we'll get these questions answered now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
How you doing?
All right, now, are you the lady on her way to Temple?
No, I was on the way to get the wine, and then I'm going to dinner.
Well,
and then tomorrow's Temple all day.
Wait, you're
missing tonight.
You're going to dinner at home?
No, I'm being invited. My sister's house.
Oh, you're going to your sister's house?
Yes, all I have to do is bring the wine. She's making, you know, the lady said chicken. I mean, you can have brisket is usually traditional, you know, good roast beef.
Now, will you eat after the sun goes down?
Well, no.
I'll tell you, after that brisket comment, Rob's going to convert.
Well,
Rob loves a good brisket.
Don, I was going to tell you, in order to be Jewish, I mean really Jewish, you've got to pass through the womb of a Jewish mother.
Well, I'm adopted, so listen, who knows? And I don't know who my real parents are, so who knows?
Okay, there you go.
I might be. Wouldn't that be a happy thought?
That would be wonderful. Can you imagine if you were able to find out? Now, what if you can't find out, and if you don't know, can you be...
Now, what about people
What about people that convert?
What about people that convert?
Like Rod Carew
or Sammy Davis Jr.
Right. They just take off for Yom Kippur. No, I mean, believe me, my sister-in-law married someone and he converted. And, you know, he's okay, but he's not...
A real Jewish person.
Yeah.
Is that the way he is looked at among your fellow Jews?
That he's not a real Jew?
Don't even ask. Our wedding wasn't kosher enough. My mother-in-law was going to get rid of us. But.
So that is the way, I think, you know, the Jewish faith, a very strong religion.
Yeah.
And listen, though, there's lots of good stuff. You know one thing I love? I've been to quite a few Jewish weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're great.
I love it when you put the glass in the napkin,
right,
yep.
and then
you stomp on it, and you and the bride and the groom, they dance in a little tent and stuff like that.
Right.
I was actually in a Jewish wedding. My buddy Mike Krasny, I was in his wedding, and when the rabbi started going, like that, Chuck, you know, my buddy Chuck, the program director,
right.
starts laughing. And as a matter of fact, their service was, I think, Episcopalian and Jewish.
No. See, you
oh, look at that. No, no, no. No, not that. You don't ask for me.
You don't get cash as gifts. You never have to worry about a gift table or anything like that. It's always cash.
Mm-hmm. So listen, just answer our questions. Here you go.
Yes, go ahead.
Will you be fasting tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Will you bathe? Will you brush your teeth? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, you will. Will you watch television?
Okay.
Limited. No.
Oh, you will.
No.
You
slacker.
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 Slacker. Added you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Shalom, my friend.
Hey, shalom.
Oh, maybe we have a non-slacker finally.
How are you doing, Don and Mike?
Doing great, thank you.
What are your plans for this evening?
Oh, I'm leaving work here in about an hour and a half, and I'm going to the Hebrew Academy.
The Hebrew Academy?
That's correct.
Is that anything like Police Academy?
Not at all.
Hebrew Academy 4.
Academy.
Gutenberg and Goldthwait go wild in Hebrew Academy 4.
Hebrew national standards are higher than any government standards. They're almost as high as mine.
My goodness, you can find, in fact, Hebrew...
Wait, what are you laughing at? Time?
Take two. You can find, say it with authority, you can find Hebrew national hot dogs at Walbaum's Market. Stock up now for barbecues and cookouts at Walbaum's. You will do it.
This is George Michael, our friend, the disc jockey.
Doing a little Hebrew National commercial.
All right, so listen, you're going to the Hebrew Academy.
That's correct.
Are you going to spend the night there tonight?
No, I'm not.
Then you'll be traveling after sundown.
That's correct.
You're not supposed to do that.
There's a lot of things you're not supposed to do. There's only three things you can do.
Okay, and what are those?
Clear that throat, first of all.
You can read, you can walk, and you can make love.
Wait a minute.
Really?
You can't read or you can read?
No, you can read.
Those are the three things you can do. You can read.
Read, walk.
Walk, and do the nasty.
That's right.
Can you walk outside after sundown?
Yes.
So you will be walking home from the Hebrew Academy?
That's correct.
You will not be driving?
No, I will not.
And will you be making love?
No.
Mike, these are the questions that I, as a prospective Jew, need answered.
Well, see, in the Catholic faith, which I'm remembering now, that's not even allowed. That's taboo.
Yeah, like the Pope doesn't want.
Oh, no!
Oh, come on. Hey, let's...
Oh, no, no, no!
Oh, he's a shocking man.
Come on, let's do that.
Shocking.
That one lady was right.
Oh, cool. All right, Dad, I'm sorry. Dad, I apologize.
Ooh, Dad is so nice.
Give him you are really Ooh. Creeping me out.
Nice.
Okay.
Boosh. Where is my copy of Cindy Crawford in Playboy? Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
It could happen. Oh, man. I was raised so Catholic.
Me too.
I feel like, you know, I'm not going home to anybody right now, but I still feel like somebody's going to yell at me tonight.
Oh, come on.
Turn on channel 402. Spice channel.
Spice. 401, isn't it?
Yeah, 402 is Playboy.
Yeah. And 400 is adult.
400 is like low-rated adult.
Right.
401 is Spice, and 402 is Playboy.
You were right about that Jackie Brown thing.
Not the best movie.
It was all right, but I mean, you were right where it was.
Oh, the channel 102.
Yeah, 102 and 103.
All day purchase.
So you won't be able to watch TV tonight, right, sir?
Well, the if you
what is the matter with that throat? You got a little cold happening?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what about TV?
If you have one of those electronic timers that turns the TV on for you, as long as you don't turn the TV on.
Loophole, you're another slacker Jew. That's another loophole, man.
And don't clear that throat after sundown, because that would be work.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ah, comedy geniuses, you're going straight to hell.
Yeah, we are, absolutely. We're taking the bullet train.
There you go. You know what? The Orthodox Jews have a great way of solving this problem. They have what's called, do you know what goy is? Do you know the Yiddish word goy?
That's a non-Jew.
Exactly.
Okay.
You got it.
Right.
So they have what's called the Shabbos goy.
Hey, goy friend.
There you go.
Goy friend. Go, goy friend. Goy friend. Go.
The Shabbos goy.
Exactly. In other words, a non-Jew, like yourselves perhaps, paid to do things like turn off. on the electricity and turn it off. Sweep the floor at the synagogue. That kind of thing.
Oh my God! So you mean you would have like a Catholic person come over and you'd say, "Hey, turn the TV on for me," and technically you're not violating.
Absolutely.
Oh my God!
Because you're not. Because you're not working.
You know what? All right, I want to tell you exactly.
Hold on.
Here's exactly what that is like. Please listen to this.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Right. Same.
Well, no, exactly right.
Same.
Somebody who can parse and make up meanings for things, and it's the Jewish people, isn't it?
Now, Shabbos Goy, that is somebody who is paid or a non-Jew who you can ask to
Robbie,
do things.
I would ask you to be my Shabbos Goy.
I appreciate it. But see, the Shabbos Goy has a root in history in that, like, before electricity.
I'm not even a Jew, and Rob already is my Shabbos Goy.
But, like, in the turn of the century, when you needed to strike a match to cook or to, you know, light your fire so you didn't freeze to death in your tenement, that's why you had a Shabbos Goy, so you wouldn't freeze to death. I think you could get by without television.
Speak for yourself. See, Rob's calling you on this. Rob's saying only the essentials.
I would think that, I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's rooted in
something. I'm not man enough to stand up to Rob.
Hey, Shabbos Goy with you, everybody. Good afternoon. It's 10 minutes until 6 o'clock.
Are you Orthodox?
Am I Orthodox?
Yeah.
No, I'm an atheist.
You're an atheist?
You're an atheist.
Oh, well, what the hell are you calling us for?
An atheist.
Man, let me tell you something. You're in big trouble.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I am a Jew from Almy.
And are you Orthodox?
No, I'm a slacker, but I know the rules.
A slacker, but he knows the rules. Yeah.
We know the rules now. I'm trying to find the one Jew that's going to observe this holiday.
Absolutely. You know, the rules seem to be a little bit flexible.
Hello, like the Pope.
Shabbos Goy guy there, he was banned a long time ago.
You mean the Shabbos Goy was banned?
You banned him, never call again. He's a professional caller. I hear him all over the Bay Area.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that. I thought
he's
you were saying.
As hell.
I thought he was saying the Shabbos Goy was banned.
Right. Hello. We're actually trying to learn something here.
I love the concept of the Shabbos Goy. I'd love to do that. I'd like to do that tonight if anybody's hiring.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Turn on your TV. Lights. Just turn the lights on and off. I can do it like I'd run it like a strobe light. No extra charge.
Hello. Hello there.
Hey, if one of these Jewish people eat all day and they work up a big growler, does that count as work when they have problems passing it?
That's a good point.
There's another question. If you had a big number two, well, this kind of gets back to my douching question.
Right.
Are you allowed to...
I would say probably.
Really?
I bet there's something written that would say, you know, your regular bodily functions. I bet the...
Could you clean yourself up afterwards?
Yeah, that would be work.
Well, I know it is for me. I know it is for you. I know it is for
I
you.
I observe that year round.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for your help.
Thanks. He can go listen to himself on the radio a little bit. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I was calling in to talk about Yom Kippur.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First of all, the lady who called in before, who's going to her sister's, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
No, she was a slacker. I think we identified her
as
such.
Yeah, she was definitely a slacker. Mm-hmm.
Slacker Jew.
Slacker Jew.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about converts and how if somebody converts, they're not really a Jew. That's definitely not true.
Well, hold on. Listen, are you Jewish?
Yes, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Do you observe Yom Kippur?
Yes, I do.
Answer me these questions three. Answer me these questions three.
Answer me these questions three.
First question.
Yes.
Will you be fasting?
Yes.
Okay. Will you be brushing your teeth?
Okay. See, let me explain.
No, yes or no. Will you be brushing your teeth?
Yes.
Slacker!
Slacker,
goodbye! Goodbye! There are no real Jews out there listening to us today.
We're waiting for the first person that is going to observe the holiday in the proper way.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm Orthodox Jewish.
You're Orthodox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finally.
Here we go. Answer me these questions.
Sure.
Okay. First off, will you be fasting?
Yes, I will.
Will you be brushing your teeth using water?
No.
Will you be watching television?
No.
Will you be using any modern electrical conveniences?
No.
Will you have a goy to do that work for you?
No.
So you are basically going to observe all of the rules?
Yes, I am.
Bravo! Bravo! Finally!
Really?
Man, this has been like pulling teeth, but that would be work.
Yeah, pulling teeth, I wouldn't be able to.
All right, then share it with... Is there anything else that we haven't covered that we should know about this holiday?
Well, basically, this is, of all the Jewish holidays, this one's very somber. Not a lot of fun associated with it.
It's atonement, right?
Right.
You're basically atoning for your sins.
Right, which is why we're fasting, and then we spend all day in synagogue praying to God that, we're forgiven for all the misdeeds we've done. And this is also sort of the time of year leading up to this, like the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, and Yom Kippur. We're supposed to spend that time contacting all the people who we've wronged and begging them for forgiveness.
Well, I'm waiting for that call. Well, not from you, but from the many Jewish general managers I've worked for in the past.
Yeah, we should get a call every year, I would think.
Hey, listen.
If they're good Jews, they would do that.
When you go to temple tomorrow,
yeah.
Doesn't it smell real bad? I mean, because if everybody's been nearly 24 hours of not bathing and not washing.
By the end of services, it's getting pretty ripe.
That's a good... you're the first person that cleared it all up. Now, how many hours total will you spend in temple tomorrow?
Oh, goodness. I don't know exactly how many hours.
Now, give us a ballpark figure.
Gosh, let's see. Well, the morning services will start, at least in my synagogue, until, say, about 2 o'clock, something like that.
So you'll be there all day?
Well, that's just the morning part. We then have later in the afternoon and the evening, we go back. So basically all day. We'll have like an hour or two for a nap.
Oh, man. That's really not a holiday at all.
What a drag. Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, so I guess the Orthodox Jews in our audience would actually say that, it's not a holiday. It's kind of like, you're there all day long and, no shower, no food.
That's no party, man.
No way.
There's no birthday party for me. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, last call on this topic. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not Jewish, but I got a customer who is, and they spend their night in something called a sukkah. It's like a little Gilligan's Island hut out on their deck. This guy's got more money than all of us put together, yet every year they go and they spend the whole time, takes his whole family, and they get stuck in this little hut out on their deck.
Oh, I saw that one time. I saw the movie about that. I'm going to get you, sucker.
Damn it, you beat me. Okay, no. We thought of it at the same time. That would be an all-day sucker.
Robert, you write it down,
yeah,
too?
Everybody. Yeah, Rob just had it also.
Three guys, same joke. Yeah.
We all playing the match game together.
Let's give us all a round of applause.
I'm going to get you sucker. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
For those of you who are unorthodox, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Here it comes. It's ticket, ticket. Yeah!
Yeah! The Don and Mike Show. It's where food comes out. The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello, is that me?
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, this is Jim from South Carolina. How y'all doing?
Yes, Jim. Hi, we're doing great.
Good. Monica's on the loose. She's looking for a talk show. Oprah turned her down. Did Buzz know about that?
Yeah, I believe that Rob Spiewak covered that yesterday. Cub reporter Rob Spiewak, and as I said yesterday, I don't believe Oprah's spin on this. That Oprah saying that she didn't want to pay the money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe it for a minute. If behind the scenes, Oprah, I think, has greater PR than anybody. She's got it all together.
Oh, yeah.
What Oprah says and what you hear her people say, that is a well rehearsed, well organized White House spin doctor strategy.
Stedman puts on that dog collar every night.
Sure.
Ooh, Oprah. You did a mighty fine show today, Oprah.
Shut up, Stedman, and please me.
Okay, Oprah.
Please me like you know you can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, honey.
Yes, ma'am. Oprah.
Oh, Stedman.
That's good, Oprah.
You pleased me.
Ooh, that's more making me more.
Letterman.
Leno.
Montel.
Edmund.
Mike Douglas, he's the only white man ever made me moist.
Please me, Stedman.
A lot of impressions on the show there.
It pleases me greatly.
That's how Oprah talks to me.
Sounds like Elvis. When Elvis wore, I bet she wears the turban like Elvis wore in Harum Scarum. It pleases me greatly, Stedman. do it to me.
Wow. It's amazing. When Oprah gets behind closed doors, she sounds just like Elvis Presley.
But you got to act like Elvis, too.
Sure.
Hey, hey, listen, about... there's no way to segue into this. About fat people.
Yes.
And about things going down. I must tell you something.
Yes.
Today, the jeans that I am wearing.
Yes.
Size 34.
Wow!
Now listen. I remember when I was a senior in high school.
Yes.
I used to buy jeans that were 32.
Mm-hmm.
32.
Right.
I remember that was my size. That's how long ago it's been since I've been this close to the promised land.
That's pretty damn close. That's pretty incredible right
there. 32-inch waist.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Hold on. I can actually...
fit into them.
Get a hand down the front of my pants. It's not like they're so tight they're cutting off the circulation of my gonads.
That's a 34.
34, baby.
34!
34-inch waist.
Man,
thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good. Good job.
Thank you. And anybody that would like to come in and check it today,
mm-hmm.
I will be glad to drop trowel at a moment's notice to show you the tag. My only bit of reservation in this is that I didn't buy the Levi's.
You got to get the Levi's with the number on the back. Scratch it out.
I wasn't sure that I could fit into them,
right,
when I was at the store, so I bought the Wranglers.
Oh, Wranglers.
Wranglers, right?
You can get those at Target.
As a matter of fact, Mike...
did you get them at Target?
That's where I got them.
You the man!
I had to go in to buy some antifreeze.
Sure.
And I walked by and I thought, you know what?
I bet
I could fit into a size 34.
Yep.
And I did it.
Wranglers don't they feel good though? I've always thought that Wranglers don't feel as good as the Levi's.
Now here's the way I rate them. I think you got your Levi's
number one. I think really when you can fit into them and they and they fit well, they're the best jeans you can buy.
And then you got Lee. It's like, you know, it's like Coke and Pepsi. It's like one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your designers. You got your Calvin Kleins.
Yeah.
And then somewhere down the ladders where you get to Wrangler territory.
Wrangler, I remember Wranglers from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to wear.
Right.
You know, and then Levi's, when I was growing up, they came onto the scene. But Wranglers were
dungarees.
Those were the dungarees that we bought.
That was another thing with my mom. Like, my mom would not buy me Chuck Taylor shoes.
Right.
I wanted Chucks so bad when I was a kid, and I always had to get, like, Keds. I always had to settle for the less-than-name brand.
Right.
Same with the jeans. I always had to wear Wrangler, or even worse.
Yeah.
Sears brand dungarees rather than the
had,
Levi's.
Like, the bad stitching on them and stuff like that.
Sucked, man.
They're not as bad as they used to be. I mean, they used to be terrible, though. See, I know the ones you're talking about. Right. And putting them on was like putting on metal pants.
Money metal pants. Money metal pants.
Oh, man, I tell you. But those Wranglers, when they, you know, before stone washing and pre-washing and all that, I mean, a new pair of Wranglers would cut you.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, I imagine that these pants aren't long for the world because they cost like $8 a pair or something like that.
You bought them at the greatest retail outlet known to mankind.
I know. I thought of you.
Well, it's incredible. And look at the materials. What you got in there, you got 100% cotton. You've got the same materials that you would get in any other clothing. And I'm talking about like T-shirts. If you want to just buy a ratty old T-shirt, you go with the Cherokee label. The Cherokee label is outstanding. I wear Cherokee T-shirts.
You're such white trash in some way.
Let me tell you something. The Cherokee, thank you. The Cherokee brand is, in my humble opinion, as far as regular cotton, plain, like colored T-shirts, the best T-shirts for the money you can buy. Absolutely going away. That's why I did cartwheels, you know, and that's why I was so disappointed you sent Slam Man back, because you got me the $200 worth of gift certificates at Target, and I just ate it up. I just went in there and was like, spent it. Spent it. Just had a cart full of stuff there. It was great.
And I get ashamed going to Target, man.
You get ashamed?
Oh, no. Yeah,
I hold my head up high.
The stars shop at Target.
Yeah.
Not me, man. Yeah. I'm a star. I don't shop there. Except for stuff like, well, what did I go in there to buy?
Antifreeze.
Antifreeze, right.
To see what you could have done. Not only, but you went in to get antifreeze.
Yeah.
You bought clothing. And you could have purchased toiletries, food products, minor electronic items, a tremendous toy department, bicycles, lawn and garden supplies.
The
you could get yourself a hamburger if you wanted to.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because they've got a full snack bar over there.
Well,
you could buy a gift for your wife, and she would be none. Well, she might be the wiser on that. But it's just incredible.
I think she would be. Well, listen, Target's good for some things.
I don't know. Now that you brought it up, I haven't been in a long time.
I don't share your love of the Target clothes, but I do have to come clean and say that the jeans I'm wearing today are from Target.
And can I say something? since we're on the subject, I'll just keep it brief. But you know when the time you were talking about Nike and talking every day about how you love Nike?
I still do.
I've been talking about this fine retail operation for quite some time.
Target. Oh, yeah, you haven't gotten dick.
It just would be my opinion that with all the good things that I've had to say about that mega, mega store, the Target, that they would maybe throw
you a bone.
Old Uncle Mike a bone here once in a while.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, although it wouldn't stop me from going in, getting shampoo and getting clothing.
Yeah. Listen, if those bastards at Nike could send us a box of free stuff, and you know that they're the cheapest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah, they're not doing too well lately.
Was before they started the big slide downhill. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Walmart or Target, whatever it is, send Mike some free junk.
I heard that Target gives, lots of their profits to charity. As far as retailers are concerned, they're the number one giving their... Mm-hmm. Well, give some of that charity money to me, please. Thank you.
Okay.
And how'd you like to go to that orphanage? Listen, we were going to give you kids the special shoes you needed. However, there's a disc jockey in Washington who talks about the show a lot.
I do.
So I'm sorry. The Michael J. Elston Orphanage will go without oatmeal this month.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting on my bed with all these markdown swimming suits.
Look at the colors. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I was wondering, did you guys see the new thing that ESPN did, a Sunday night on the football game?
What was it? You mean with the line?
Yeah, they projected the line.
Oh, I love that. Normally ESPN junks things up too much.
Right.
Yeah.
But on Sunday night football, they got a yellow line that goes across the screen to show you where the team has to go to make a first down.
Does it work?
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was real good.
Wow. Easier to watch the game, I would imagine.
Yeah, made it real good. I want to talk about TV. Thank you for the call. I got a chance to watch a lot of the new shows last night. Oh, we will do the Rent and Mortgage very quickly.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to give away all the money here. Mm-hmm. And also today, what's his name? The professor from Gilligan's Island.
The curmudgeon.
Right. It was not a good appearance the last time he was on the show.
He's angry for what reason? I think did we discuss it was the communist thing that we...
We had heard that he was a member of the Communist Party. And
is
we
that
asked,
how it happened?
We asked him about it, I think.
There was communism, and also you gave him a hard time for not signing for royalties.
All right. When you say there was communism, how did it come up?
Because he was starting in Hollywood in the 50s, it was the height of McCarthyism.
And he brought it up, right?
Well, it was in his book. You all touched on it, and it got just heated. And then he was mad that he never got royalties for the show.
Oh, good. Okay, good. That's another hot
So listen, the three questions, I guess, that we'll ask him today. First, we want to ask him how Ginger really looks, right? Yeah. Tina Louise, since we had her on the show.
Which will probably get an answer I don't care, whatever.
Then we'll ask him the last appearance on our show. How do you think that went?
Right.
And then the third question will be, have you ever been or are you now a card-carrying member of the Communist Party?
And if he doesn't get mad enough at that, we'll throw in a, hey, you must be getting lots of royalties from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. That'll just
set him off.
Okay, so last night I watched a bunch of the shows because the goddamn Yankees are on, so again, Hank Hill wasn't on TV.
Right. Yeah, and watching the Yankees really kind of like watching the grass grow because they win every game they play, so it's boring.
Right. And besides, I hate the Yankees. You know, as much as I despise baseball,
yes,
I despise the Yankees.
You hate them more than the Red Sox?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, good. All right, that's good to hear.
Without a doubt, they're hated. Oh, you ready to see our new publicity pictures?
Yes.
Oh, they're back.
Hold on a second. Let me see. Hey, these are pretty good pictures.
All right.
You tell me which one you like. That's a pretty good one. Hey, here's a very good one. Here's a very good one where you're frowning and I'm smiling. Here's another pleasant one. Okay, these are not bad pictures.
I knew they'd be good because they took 5 seconds to do.
These are not bad. All right, here's one where we're both smiling. All right. But, we're smiling in almost all these pictures.
Wow.
They're almost all the same. Oh, here you go. Here's the one with Buzz in the middle. Look at the look on Buzz's face in this picture. Okay?
Hey, these are good.
These are nice pictures. God damn it, I'm a handsome man.
Yes, you are.
There's another one of the three of us. Again, Buzz with a very smug look on his face in all of these photos.
I like this one. I like this one. That's a
that
good
one.
Picture
Let
right
Let me see
there.
That one. Hold on a second.
I do like that picture.
That's good.
That is a good. That's a keeper this, right there.
I think you're right about for the three of us.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
That's a keeper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, look at your face in this one. Just look at your face in that one.
Hello there.
Hold on, here's another one where you're making that same goofy face.
With my left eye closed. My left eye completely closed.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to pick one of just you and me.
They're all good.
This one's not bad, of you and me.
I thought we were going to get shoulder shots. I know you've lost a ton of weight.
Well,
I'd like to point out, I haven't.
We could crop it at breast level, though.
Actually, I'm not disappointed, though. I'm not, I don't mind that one. That's not a bad looking.
Well, let
picture.
Me see that one.
Okay.
But let's go through them.
Well, no, because look, I got the veins on my forehead sticking out.
Wow.
I look like Lex Luthor in that picture. Take a good look at my forehead. No, I don't mean to be vain, but right. I can't help it. I am vain.
I just, right now, the criteria would be I'm looking for a picture where my eyes are actually both open.
Yeah.
All right, well, this one. Well, no, your eye's kind of crinkly on that one.
All right.
Well, I don't know. That one's not bad.
These are black and white publicity photos.
You know, we've never had a publicity photo that we've liked.
Right. Yeah.
So this would be a first.
Awful nice happy one there. I kind of like that.
Let me see that one again. Let me take a good look at that one. Because I got that big vein in my forehead. Well, I could live with that. They could airbrush that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that could
right?
be. Let me see. Sure. Let me see the one.
See? Look right there. Look, it looked like Frankenstein with that big thing that Frankenstein's got on the top of his head. That big scar he's got, like a Herman Munster scar.
My eye, what is the matter? Do I have like Rudy disease or something like that? My eye seems closed in all of these.
You do look a little sleepy in this one. It looks like nighty night time almost in that one.
I don't think we've ever had pictures taken where we were more relaxed.
Yeah,
I don't think ever that we've had a photo. You know why? It shows that it was like we were in there in 5 minutes. We were out of there.
Right. Well, anyway, we'll pick the one that's the best. And that's the one that we'll send to the girl who is Kevin James' wife on the show, The King of Queens.
Right.
And hopefully that will be the one that she puts up on her refrigerator.
Good.
Now, about the TV, you know, I did watch a whole bunch of new shows last night.
Right.
And first off, I just want to say about Mad About You, mm-hmm. that the Helen Hunt factor no longer is a factor for me, no matter how much of a piece of ass Helen Hunt is, no matter how talented she is as an actress.
Show sucks too much?
That show must be put out of its misery.
Mm-hmm.
Must be. That is the worst show on television.
I agree with you.
And last night, Ira, the guy with the light bulb head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Totally the star of the show.
Yeah, well, see, that's, of course, that's going to happen as the seasons progress. You got a guy like that that's going to demand more airtime.
Because Paul Reiser has to go in for a tonsillectomy, okay? He has tonsillitis. He has to have his tonsils taken out.
Right.
So Ira, who has the baby in one of those backpacks where he has the baby strapped on the front of him,
right.
he goes into the chapel to pray. And now he's never been to church before, and the priest that they have is the guy that was Father Mulcahy from MASH, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says to him, and the guy's an awful actor. Right. I mean, the guy can't act his way out of a paper bag.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's not good enough to be in my kid's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, that Shakespeare thing. The guy says, I've never been in church before, so maybe you can help me through this. So now he's got the baby in the backpack strapped to his front, and he's looking up at the sky in this little church chapel in the hospital. He goes, how you doing? I know I've never talked to you before. I'd really like world peace. That would be nice. Health for my family. If the Yankees could get a good left-hander, that would be good. I'd like to meet a nice woman, and I guess that's about it. I'm not really sure how to sign this up. And then at that point,
big laugh track all the way through. And they do that show in front of an audience? Sure sounds like a laugh track.
They have to sweeten it.
Right. Yeah.
And at that point, the baby, with obvious dialogue that is thrown in, because the baby has its face on the chest of the guy, the baby goes, schmack. And then he says, oh, yes, and please, have Mabel, or whatever they've named the baby.
Mabel.
Have Mabel stop repeating everything that I say. Thank you. See you later. And it's like
totally jive.
So bad.
Beyond jive.
Yes. So bad. It was awful, man.
Ira, the balding guy, that blow dries the hair that he has left, making him really look like an alien.
Somebody put that show out of its misery. I'm way over Mad About You. Not even Helen Hunt could make me stay with Mad About You.
Even
last
in its
night.
Absolute best, I don't count it among the top shows of all time.
No.
I never thought the show was as funny at its zenith as other shows, you know, when they were at the top of their game.
It was like a serious one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like he was laying in the hospital bed after having his tonsils taken out, and she's talking to him, and he was unconscious, and she was like, don't you know that you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I never thought I'd get married before I met you.
Like a guy like him would get a girl like that. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right, like Paul Reiser could ever get a major league piece of ass like Helen Hunt.
Like Paul Reiser. I mean, you get him out of the makeup. I mean, you take a look at Paul Reiser. I mean, that is the definition of the word schlep.
like Helen Hunt wouldn't be cheating on him in a second.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Jamie, whatever her name is on that show.
And how is she looking? Is she...
strong.
She is strong?
Good.
Very strong. Good. She's like a robot. I think she's like, she's an automatic woman. She really is.
She can't help it, man. Even on her worst day, she's still got to look so good.
Little robo award, you know, award gathering machine.
She's looking too good.
Helen Hunt.
So I watched that show and I was disappointed. And I had not seen the Nathan Lane show yet. Oh. Encore, encore.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, and I'm a big Nathan Lane fan. I mean, that guy, I swear to God, is so funny.
Yep.
It's not funny. He's so funny.
Yep.
But that show is so not funny.
Horrible. It sucks so bad.
That it
stunk.
It's making me turn on Nathan Lane, who is a homo, and I have nothing against the fact that he's a homo.
Right. Is he out of the closet gay?
Listen, he's too gay to be playing a guy on a TV show who's supposed to be a stud.
Yeah, maybe
which
you're right
is, which
that.
Is part of his right. persona on the show, yeah. that he's an opera singer that's lost his voice, and I guess he slept with every famous person in the world.
Right.
You know, and it just doesn't... It doesn't play,
right?
You know, when he's going, yes, I was with her. Oh, she's just magnificent. I mean, and I like...
He's miscast in that role. It's just not the right role for him.
I like Nathan Lane. I really wanted to watch that show and really enjoy him because he is so funny. Mm-hmm. But that show sucked, too.
Yeah, and the advance on all these shows, pretty accurate so far. Everything that got a bad review before it even came on is falling right into place.
But the one show that I did see last night that I really thought was great was that show Sports Night.
Yes.
The show that is what goes on like behind the scenes at ESPN.
Oh, how was it?
That show.
Who's in it? Anybody famous?
Nobody I know. That show, excellent.
Really?
I mean, really, the closest thing, I think, to Larry Sanders. Of course, it doesn't have the profanity that Larry Sanders did.
But it's edgy. It's a little edgy.
Oh, it's most excellent.
Oh, good. But what network is that on?
ABC.
I'd like to see that.
They go easy on the soundtrack. The stories seem pretty original. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Except that's a show that didn't need a laugh track.
Right.
Except, it's obvious they were using a laugh track.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't get it. That's a show like on Larry Sanders. A lot of times, they would have funny jokes on Larry Sanders, and you would laugh out loud, but it was funny because it was like you were watching real life.
Yeah, no laugh track necessary.
Right.
And I finally watched that show that you like, Buzz, The Practice, that was on. I think that's an ABC show, and that show... That fat lady, I was just watching it, and that fat lady, I believe she deserves the Emmy that she got.
She's good.
She's that good on that show. I was completely
I believe
surprised.
Her dry cleaner deserves the Emmy.
That's what I think.
This one's for all the fat girls.
Yes.
It's very disappointing last night. Oh, but there was a great show on HBO about autopsies.
Oh
Autopsy 5 was on last night.
Oh, it kicked ass. I bet Broyhill saw it,
too. It kicked ass. It was so good, and I was so mad that I missed it because I was watching Star Trek.
Mm.
Oh, but it was good because they were cutting this guy open and showing you all his insides and stuff.
Oh, man, Autopsy 5. That's the brand new one.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man, you were lucky to catch that. So you were Robo Remote Man last night.
Yeah. And I had the highs and the lows. Yeah. You know, it went from Mad About You, which was awful, to Encore, which was equally bad, then that Sports Night show. But then when the Autopsy show came on, I went, it's so great watching them cut up dead people.
You did a better job than I did last night just getting, you know, sucked into Dateline again, which is, you know, they're getting so dull. They're getting so tired with their storylines. I don't even remember. I couldn't even remember what they were talking about last night. That's how boring it was with Jane Paul.
At one point when they cut the guy open, all the doctors had to step back because the smell was so overpowering.
And they showed it for real?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a great show, man.
Well, don't they videotape like all major autopsies anyway?
Mostly now they do, yeah.
It's so cool. Now that should be a regular show. That's a show that you could use a laugh track on that show and it would be okay. Like at one point they're cutting this guy open,
right?
And all the doctors go, whoa, and they step back.
Perfect place for a laugh, right?
It's like, you know, in a you know, in a cartoon, like when Pepe Le Pew cuts a fart and you see the little squiggly lines going up in the air? That's like the effect. And you think about it. These are doctors with masks on and the smell. So they cut this guy open and they go, whoa!
That was fantastic.
Whoa. That's a show.
That is a show that creeps me out. Creeps me out. That's nightmare territory when you watch Autopsy. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really.
Right.
Ever since they found the lady in the tub.
That was a good episode. Oh, I love that one. That was a good one.
We determined, since the flesh had been eaten by maggots, that I would grind up the maggots in a blender. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God.
But you didn't change the channel, did you?
Oh, I was riveted.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Son, didn't you ever give anybody anything just for the pleasure of it? You know, something you didn't want anything in return for?
Sure, just yesterday I gave my friend Jimmy something.
Now, that's fine. What'd you get him?
A sock in the head.
I meant charity.
I didn't charge him nothing.
I meant something for the joy of giving.
I enjoyed it.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're not only bastards, they're tasteless bastards. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
This segment brought to you by Buramax. Buramax sexual pleasure and performance enhancer is doctor developed and clinically tested. Buramax works and is available at Rite Aid, DNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Buramax 1-888-5-VMAX.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
I was just calling. I have to agree with Mike on this issue of Target.
Thank you, sir. It's no debate. I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's just, I love Target. And I think anybody that's been in that store knows the joy of going into Target.
When the one in our area first opened up, it was like,
I just like the dichotomy. I like the hypocriticalness of this. That this is coming from a man who drives a Lexus.
Yes.
Who says he would, he likes paying $3 for a T-shirt.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. How do you think you can afford the Lexus?
Yeah, well, I think that you have to recognize value.
Yes.
And I think that, a Lexus, there's value in that car.
Yep.
And in Target, there's value in Target. Doesn't matter what the price is as long as it's value.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Well, I work in an auto parts store, and I don't buy auto parts. At my auto parts store that I work at.
You buy them at Target.
I buy them at Target.
Of course you do. There you go.
And I disagree with you on one thing, Mike, is that the toy department could be a little better.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. I think the toy department...
Don't you generally get the second-tier toys? Like right now, if you went into Target, wouldn't they have, like, small soldiers toys?
They would have... What it is, I think, is just a quantity factor. They could expand their toy department a little bit. But when I'm in there with my daughter, having the smaller toy department is A-OK because...
Oh, I understand that.
Less of a time commitment when we're going up and down the aisle, so that's just fine with me.
Well, I got a three-year-old son who's realized what toys are, and he expects toy department to be like, toys are us.
Well, see, that's the advantage. Then you can move on to the things that you enjoy.
Right? Yeah.
Cotton T-shirts.
I just think they sell a lot of cheap junk in there.
Well, see, they don't.
It's good for some stuff.
It is. Now, you're right. Everything, you can't get everything in there.
Right.
But you can get, the stuff that's good is just good, and I like it.
Now, if they sold antifreeze at Neiman Marcus, I would never have a reason to go to any other store, man. Now, there's good value, Neiman Marcus.
Oh, yeah.
You want some bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Neiman Marcus. I throw up when I go by that store.
That store, I think, more than any other store I've ever been in, is a store that makes me uncomfortable from when I walked in. And I loved it when you told that story about how you didn't take the crap
from
the lady in there, because all those people in there run a robo-attitude.
Yeah, because I didn't look like a rich guy.
Right.
I was walking around and they're just dressed in my regular clothes, and she's following me around like I was going to swipe something.
That store is just, it's ludicrous.
Like I was going to swipe one of their crystal swans that they charge $5,000.
You're the right weight class for that store, though. Now, you can go into that store and get the clothes that they sell now. I can't, because their clothes are like Euro clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, this is for the man with the 26-inch waist and a lovely satin shirt that looks like pajamas.
I bought Buzz and I satin shirt there one time.
Buzz. I enjoy them.
Nice pirate shirt.
I know you like those kind of shirts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
They don't sell those at Target.
They come. No, they don't, Mike.
No, they don't. If they sell them, they got like a big New Orleans Saints logo on the back of them.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. How you guys doing, man?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, it's Todd from Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, sir.
I want to find out, what do you guys think of the Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew Carey?
We've already commented on that show.
It
sucks. I believe here's the thought. I mean, we commented when that show came on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why that show is a ripoff. That what they do is take 3 hours, and they edit it down to 22 minutes.
And so they dumb it down, too. From the British version, they've dumbed it down. They've dumbed it down for American, and it's not the same show, and it sucks.
So what you're seeing is not really off the top of your head ad-libbing. Right. What you're seeing is, you put anybody in a room for 3 hours, and you could come up with some funny moments.
Right.
So it's not really as ad-lib and as spontaneous as they would like you to believe it is.
I was a fan of the British version of the show where they actually would, you know, let it go and you would hear, you know, the witty lines that they come up with, whereas the dumbing down version that they made for America, you know, you got a lot more of the... You know, where they're trying to be planes and stuff like that. It's so
maybe
obvious.
I'm dumb, but I laugh when you just did that.
Yeah,
it
was good.
You're funny. Airplane man. Airplane man.
Airplane man.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, baby.
Hi, baby.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. I was calling about Autopsy 5.
Great show last night.
I was like you. I was riveted.
Killer show, if you pardon the pun.
And I had to call you guys because I'm real tense for the rent and mortgage contest, and I'm sitting in the bathtub listening to you guys.
Are you in the tub right now?
I am. Can you hear it?
Oh, baby.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I have been told that I look like Stevie Nicks with dark hair.
He's kind of maybe it could be somebody else.
But young Stevie Nicks, not with her all hagged out.
Oh, very young Stevie Nicks?
Remember when she did like Gypsy and stuff? Okay. When she was into the longer dresses?
That still doesn't do it for me. I was never a Stevie Nicks fan.
Really?
Oh, Gypsy! It's that whole folk singer thing.
She didn't get my boobs either, so.
Sarah! There's never been a hot folk singer. I defy you to name a hot folk singer. They're all... dogs. Joan Baez. Melanie. I know we've been in the discussion about Melanie before. Oh, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Who would do her and Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary?
She's a man, baby.
Yeah, right. She makes Linda McCartney look like a supermodel. Are
Joni Mitchell.
Right. She's another one. Totally fuggly.
Judy Collins.
Oh! Yeah, I defy you to come up with a good-looking folk singer.
That is an incredible challenge. You might be right on
and
that.
And you can't categorize like Sheryl Crow as a folk singer, because
nope.
Sheryl Crow is more like a diva.
It's got to be from that era, and I don't think, as far as a big-name folk singer... Oh, listen to the splash.
Well, and hairy armpits and stuff. Big-boned women. You know, yuck. Grace Slick, she's another one. She's the poster girl for that. Yuck. Well, listen.
You guys have met me before, though. I met you all at the Shark Club.
Really?
And, matter of fact, sent you guys some drinks.
You did? Did you come up on stage?
My husband wouldn't let me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to get naked because I was drunk.
Is he home now, your husband?
Uh-uh. Mm.
No. Would you wash yourself? Would you wash, let me see, would you wash Lefty?
Lefty for you?
I'll take Lefty. Would you wash, please?
Okay. Are you washing Lefty now?
I am getting my loofah good and wet. And,
oh, yes. Your loofah.
See, I think, when I hear loofah, I think of Caddyshack, the lady that was married to Judge Smales. Loofah my stretch marks.
Right. And yes, Lefty has been taken care of.
Please wash Lefty for me.
I am, Don, just for you.
You want to do that little trick? Do that little bathtub trick? And now, do you want Righty?
Oh, yes.
Righty for Mike, please.
Yes, do Righty now.
Okay, Mike, just for you.
Mm. And now for all of us, please vigorously scrub your place. As Jerry Lewis would say, scrub your place. Will you do that? Will you take the loofah to your place?
Sure.
And, oh, and while you're down there, check under the hood.
See if you're ready for your 10,000-mile checkup yet. Are you scrubbing the place?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Just for you.
Very nice. Now rinse.
Baby. There you go.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah. Oh, nice and clean. Oh, you're nice and clean.
So, guys, you have to do the rent a mortgage contest before I turn into a prune.
Oh, we can do that in our next break.
Oh, good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing like girls taking a bath during the show.
Boy, terrific phone, too. Brilliant. Good phone quality. Yeah. Picked up all the water splashes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, is this me?
Yeah.
I got a suggestion for a good-looking folk singer.
All right.
Jewel.
Jewel? I don't think Jewel counts as a folk singer.
Well, I guess technically she was. She just happened to get popular. I guess that's not her fault.
You know, she would fall into the... Probably,
yeah, but her songs...
Solo. She likes Sheryl Crow, though.
Her songs are too commercial, though. I mean, to be a folk singer, you really have... First off, you have to have crappy songs that nobody likes. And Jewel is
Grace
very...
Grace Slick be a folk singer that she was in her early days?
When the truth is good, hello, and here I'm somebody to love. Yeah, I think she kind of qualifies as a folk singer from the early days of the Starship or Airplane, whatever they called it.
She fits into that category with all those other lovelies that you mentioned.
I'll give you this, though, that Jewel would be the one, maybe, mm-hmm. who you might be able to say crosses over. However, she has become such a commercial success that she's really a pop singer, not a folk singer.
And you have to really consider, yeah, there really are no folk singers anymore. It has to be that 60s, 70s era where they were popular, and you have to find a woman from that era, I think.
Right, and you know, Jewel is singing songs like about her boyfriend leaving her and stuff. You know, El Hag Joan Baez. The night they drove old Dixie down.
I was taking into consideration, from what I hear, that Jewel grew up in the back of a car. Doesn't that kind of make you a folk singer?
No, that makes her white trash.
Yeah,
she probably shops at Target.
She's modern, too.
Well, at least she qualifies for something.
Yeah, now that she's out of the back of that car, she shops at Target.
She should get her teeth fixed. That's what she should do with that money. She got the snaggle tooth happening.
Well, that's part of her charm. You know, you always look for that snaggle tooth. But I would venture to say that if she's only got time for egg salad sandwiches or something like that, you'd need some robo-floss in there.
Yeah, right. She probably can't eat Big Macs and stuff like that, either. Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
How about Crystal Gayle, folk singer way back?
No, Crystal Gayle's a country singer.
Country singer.
Come on. No, Crystal Gayle is a country singer. Are you kidding me? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I was calling about the autopsy thing, and I was wondering if you saw the part where they went in and they caught the guy as he was chopping that woman up.
No, I must have missed that part.
Oh, that part was so good. They went in there, and they had the actual police video camera part, and they go in, and he had been having this dispute with his neighbor and had not shown up. Neither of them had showed up for court. They went over, and he comes out kind of irritated, like, what's going on? So they handcuff him and take him outside. They go in there, and the woman is in there. They show her head and her trunk with no arms.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
I knew I missed
that. The police video of it.
Oh, my. They showed the whole police video?
Yeah, no. Like of them going into the house, down to the bathroom.
What a great show that
and
is.
And then, yeah, so then the guy, you know, of course they arrest him and throw him in the paddy wagon, and as by the time they get to the police station, the guy had, even though he was handcuffed behind his back, had taken his belt off and strangled himself.
In the back of the car, did they show that too?
The what?
Did they show that?
But him strangled, yeah, they opened the paddy wagon and he like slumped out of it dead. You know, and then they did the autopsy on him.
It's a great show, man.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe you missed it. Hopefully they'll rerun it, because you've got to see it.
Yeah, they rerun everything on HBO. Thank you, though. Thank you for the tip. Now I know that there's something to look forward to.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hey, hi, my friend.
Hi. Speaking of a hot folk artist, one that you haven't mentioned yet would be Ani DeFranco.
She's
not real popular in the mainstream, but she is real, real hot.
Well, you know, it would have to be somebody we all know.
Right, come on. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Ani DeFranco. Is that Tony DeFranco's mother?
Heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good sensation.
That was good.
It's a love beat. We love singing to the DeFranco family.
Listen to my heart pound.
Bum, 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 bum. Listen to my love sound. Feeling's getting stronger, stronger, stronger. Can't hold back any longer. There's a heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good sensation. It's a heartbeat.
What a song.
That's pretty.
Hey, we're not too faggy, are we?
Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family.
I'm Don Homo. He's Mike Homo.
Hi.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
Folk singer for you.
Yes.
What about Janis Joplin?
Yeah, right. Right. Hey, Bobby. hey, Bobby McGee.
Bonnie Raitt would count, too.
Yeah.
Bonnie Raitt with her skunk hair.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show. Bonnie Raitt's a bad girl, though.
Yeah,
yeah, she's cool. I like Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
I bet Bonnie Raitt is good between the sheets.
Bonnie Tyler?
Oh. No, thank you. Wow. She's no Bonnie Bernstein if we're playing the Bonnie games. Hello?
You guys are missing one big, big folk singer. Mama Cass.
Cass Elliott.
Ooh. Right.
That was a pretty one.
Wasn't the other one from Mamas and the Papas, wasn't she hot, though?
No, Mamas and the Papas was, you mean the other, you know, you're right.
Oh.
You are right, the lady, the other.
Fine.
Debatable. Debatable if she was hotter.
No, you're right, Rob. Michelle Phillips in her prime was a hottie.
Yeah, back then she was fine.
I think she was an actual, she may be the only one that counts as a real, she in her prime was a real hottie.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Carol King, man, come on. You got to feel the earth move to that woman. Come on.
Carol King is so butt ugly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Badly.
Carol King is one of the ugliest women on the face of the earth.
Oh, come on, man. In front of the church. She's a dish.
Hey, Phoebe Snow. You know, this theory is just gaining more.
The parade of ugly folk singers continues.
Harper Valley PTA woman, Jeannie.
No, Jeannie C. Riley, she's a country singer, sir. She's
That's
not
right.
a folk singer.
Yeah, we would not accept Jeannie C. Riley. We would not accept Donna Fargo.
Hello. The happiest girl in the whole USA. Don and Mike, hello. Hello.
All the crossover songs that were hit.
All right, this is the last call. We're going to have to do a break. Hello.
Two things real quick. The Asian chick from the Starland Vocal Band.
No, the Starland Vocal Band was not folk music.
No, that was
pop.
Pussy music.
And I used to witness autopsies as a law enforcement officer. They had us when we were going through the academy. We had to get used to the smells and sights. And I'll tell you what. It was intriguing, but the smells would knock you out.
Yeah, well, that's what I saw on the show last night.
Really?
Thank you, my friend. Which smells worse do you think, though?
Well, you know what?
The guy that found Mama Cass's body?
Oh, man.
The people who had autopsies. Or one of Janis Joplin's beefy farts.
Oh, my God. On the tour bus. Without air conditioning.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. We got to go. We'll be right back.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.